So Fox and I were playing a game. It was Peace Scar versus Butcher 3. And he was playing with his Kraken, and he had, on his feet turn, I managed to get Butcher 3 into the side of it, put about 29 points on the whole left side of the grid.
So you might say that Kraken is all right now.
Yeah!
All right, turn your mic back on.
So bad. Fox, by the way, has to turn his mic off for the David Caruso jokes because he can't handle himself.
He just can't control himself. It's so bad. Like, that he one can't was, stop like giggling and
that one
shaking.
Was by far the worst one we've had.
No, 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 no. I think the Josh Maxson, when Josh well, yeah, Maxson did it, that was the worst one.
Well, no, that one was the dirtiest one we've had. It was not the funniest.
Which automatically makes it the best.
Yeah.
All right, so, all right, we're podcasting.
Yes.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of Muse on Minis Miami.
Bienvenido a Miami.
It's just going to keep going. My name is Crump. I play Circle, and only Circle. Screw everything else.
Fox Cricks. Just Cricks, sorry.
Colin Scorn.
This is Lance. I play Kador.
All right. So,
news and announcements. Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, you can do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll do it. St. Louis War Machine Weekend Qualifier is coming up on May 9th through the 11th. It's going to be at St. Louis, Missouri at Game Night. Information can be found online for that at GameNightShop.com. There's a number of events happening for Friday through Sunday. Friday night, or Friday day, Mangled Mail, Tooth and Claw Hardcore Sign-In starts at 5 p.m. The event will start at 7 p.m. Saturday events will be a War Machine Weekend qualifier with the initial rounds. Registration restarts. Oh.
They start registering the night before, I believe.
Fair enough. So the registration will start in the morning at 8 a.m., cut off at 8:30. Wow, you get a half hour to get your butt in there. Pairings at the table by 9, and they'll get everybody kicked off. They'll also have a Young Bloods 35-point steamroller tournament. Registration cutoff for this is 10:30. Start time will be 11 a.m., so the Young Bloods get to sleep in a little bit. And that evening is Stu's the Boss.
Stu's the Boss. I thought it was Who's
it's run,
the Boss.
It's run by it's Who's the Boss run by a Stu guy Nami. Named Stu Nami.
Stu Nami?
I don't get it.
I don't get it. He laughs at all of our puns, but he doesn't understand Stu Nami.
But they don't have the full wheel, so they're actually using the computer program.
Oh, okay. The thing Clifton Klein
yeah,
made.
And it's not all of the Warcasters. Because
they don't
As far
own
as
all
I know,
them.
They don't own them all.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's
sounds like
Andy
legit,
just crushes
a
face.
Legit who's the
legit
boss?
Who's the boss?
The handful of forecasters I have in my bag. Let's do a
we got about
event.
Six.
That's Crump's legit Who's the Boss tournament. It's whatever forecasters he can.
Everyone else gets
scrub up.
Instead of spinning a wheel, you pick them out of a sack.
Put your hand in there. That feels like Darius. No, I don't want that.
Wait, it's called stews because it's like a stew.
Yeah,
like,
right. It's in a pot.
I'm going to punch you, Fox.
Okay. Sunday's events, the finals for the War Machine Weekend qualifier, and then a de-escalation steamroller, which if you haven't played in one of those before, you basically start with like a 50-point list, then round two you scale down to a 35, the next round you scale down to like 20, and then 50.
Do you use the same parts of the army?
You have to still...
Same caster, same everything else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So,
I believe your is it your battle group that changes or your support that changes?
I think it's anything. You just have to keep the Warcaster and parts of whatever the army is, and you have to remove it to make it equal that point value. So, lose 15 points, lose 15 points.
Okay.
So, you don't like change points, your list. You have to like take chunks out
of it.
Yeah.
So, I imagine you could kind of reconfigure it as you need to.
It's horrible.
Yep.
Good. And you should go play in it because all those sweet
because
people,
there's nothing else to play in except for the finals.
And because... And you should just go to this because it's run by sweet people like Stu Nami.
Right.
And I assume...
Tim Simpson.
That guy's not that sweet. But I'm assuming AK will probably be there helping run it.
Yeah.
Probably.
With his weird paint clock thing.
Yeah.
For round timers that is impossible to read.
Okay. Yep. They wanted to make sure you guys knew the prize support. They're estimating roughly $1,000 worth of prize support over the weekend throughout all the events Iron Arena.
Great!
That number is subject to growing based on the pre-registration numbers. So if you need to pre-register, please do so. As always, the winner of the War Machine Weekend Qualifier will also earn a spot in the War Machine Weekend Invitational, as well as a free pass into War Machine Weekend. Good times.
Yeah.
Yay!
I mean, we're probably all going to go to that, right?
I'm gone.
To War Machine Weekend?
No, to this thing on May 9th through the 11th.
Possibly.
I mean, there's no reason not to. Right?
I mean, anytime,
it's like a free win.
Anytime I get an excuse to go to St. Louis so I can eat Pappy's Barbecue.
Oh, my gosh.
Going. By the way, if you go to St. Louis, listeners, go to Pappy's Barbecue.
What?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Never eating that barbecue ever. It does nothing but start wars.
Yeah, because it's so delicious.
Dude, don't tell people about Pappy's.
Then people will be there. And they can't get tables.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
Potentially knock us out of line.
Don't don't they close once they run out of food? And they run out of food every day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because they're a really good business with a really good product.
So they don't get enough food to last an entire day. Seems like a good business plan.
Yeah, it seems like having barbecue left over is a worse business plan.
Yeah.
Sure.
Completely off point.
Yeah.
Real spoilers!
That's in news and announcement. Go to Pappy's Barbecue in St. Louis if you were there. Worth it.
Announced.
Yep.
Well done.
Don't bring any of your friends, though.
For realsies spoilers, you say?
For realsies spoilers.
Yeah.
They
more like
posted
spoiler.
A spoiler, yes. Plural, perhaps, was a little bit misleading. the spoiler was a relatively sweet-looking model. I don't know rules-wise if it's going to be any good.
It's probably going to be legit.
So they spoiled the character heavy for trolls, and every troll player took a giant breath of relief knowing that that giant hand that was posted on Twitter forever ago was not a second gargantuan.
Yeah, yeah.
I so wanted it to be a second gargantuan.
Mountain King's twin sister.
Instead, it is now just a really out of proportioned hand.
It's fine.
At least he doesn't have like scrawny legs. Baby legs, you might say.
Yeah.
Baby legs.
I did not notice until this was posted right next to the picture of a Mauler how dumb troll-like heavy's feet look.
Yep.
I mean, War Machine's
heavy
speed.
But you have a fluff blurb to read.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, for Dozer and Smig, the new Trollblood Sire Troll character heavy war beasts, they're outfitted with a crudely rigged bombard salvaged from a Kadoran destroyer. So they have a gun that is range 14, POW 14, AoE 3.
I have two of them on the top of my extreme mouth.
Yeah.
They look exactly like that.
So that's kind of cool, because that's longer than any troll gun that currently exists in the faction.
And it can be sniped.
Indeed. However, it's got to get worse. So, Dozer is an impossible fusion of Nature's Fury and Mechanical Destruction. So impossible that they've done it.
It totally exists.
Impossible made possible.
Kim Possible.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a typo. It's probably supposed to say Dozer is a Kim Possible fusion of Nature's Fury and Mechanical Destruction. Never mind.
Yeah!
From his perch atop Dozer, Smig, that's the pig, operates the wildly inaccurate bombard.
Smig the pig.
That's probably going to stick now. Smig the pig operates the wildly inaccurate
bombard.
It's
hilarious, Colin.
It's kind of funny.
I don't find it funny.
The wildly inaccurate bombard. So everyone now thinks that this guy has inaccurate the rule that Minoth Redeemers and the Judicator have. With surprising effectiveness, and is reared as an ace by other pigs. So other pigs are rat 4, so I'm betting this thing is rat 5.
Rat 5, with, mind blown!
With inaccurate, meaning it is an effective rat 1.
Are you sure it's minus 4?
Yes, I'm 100% sure it's minus 4. I used the point Minoth.
100%? Okay. Yes. Okay.
So well, this is just going to scatter AoE 3s 18 inches out.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Maybe.
This is the only... Yes, because it is a bombard salvaged from a Kadoran destroyer.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
I'm assuming they literally... If it's salvaged took it.
It looks exactly like it.
Yeah, that looks... That's... Yeah.
So spectacular... This is the most exciting fluff part. Is so spectacular are their battlefield rampages. But the other blitzers are inspired by their example and strive to make every attack count.
Because they have to.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe, like, what's that rule that, like, is it leadership that, like, Maxwell Finn has for Trenchers? Veteran leader.
Which does
that rule. It's veteran leader is, like, veteran leader sump model. So, like, Finn has a veteran leader for trenchers. So while trenchers can see him, they get plus two to their ranged attack rolls.
Oh.
Or, sorry, it's just plus two to their attack rolls. It's not just a
ranged
attack.
Could it be the maybe the mercenary thing, the steelhead
coins?
Rifleman one? No, the reroll, like, what's the reroll ranged attack rolls?
Combined arms?
Yeah.
That only... That's for combined ranged attacks. So
oh, work for and these things don't CRA. No, yeah. Of course. Okay.
So, like, what's the Blitzer's armor?
I'm assuming it's, like, 1218, because that's the chassis for, like, all the Mauler and the...
So, like, I assume his armor is going to be higher.
Yeah. I could see 19.
Maybe one more. I mean, just for as much bulky and armor that's on that thing.
I would
look
be
at that
shocked
model.
If it's 20.
If it's 20, that is really, really good.
Because it goes, what, 22?
Or
24. Yeah. A lot of lists.
Depending.
Seems pretty good.
I mean, I don't think it's broken, because he's going to be inaccurate and then never hit anything.
God, I hope it's not inaccurate, and they're just like, I don't know.
Threw your curveball!
The wildly inaccurate.
I know we referenced
it. It's actually Rat 7, and it always hits. That got Lance good.
The,
right?
The next character is just going to have a lightning coil from the Thunderhead, so it could just pulse and then auto-hit stuff.
But yeah,
it's going to be inaccurate as well.
And his name's going to be called Sparky and Prig, the pig, or something like that.
It will be higher Prig. Armor. I doubt it will be 20.
If it's... 20's probably too high, because what list does it go up to 24?
I hope Chad listens to this. Yeah, because Mulg is their highest right
now. He will
right
not
now.
Listen to this.
And he's a 19. So,
Mulg also has no armor, but I guess he does have rocks.
He just has a giant, is a mountain of armor.
Rocks are pretty good.
Pretty true.
Yeah.
Well, if he's not hitting anything at ranged other than like scattering AoEs, I don't.
Yeah. Although, somebody should probably talk to Mulg about his like hunchback. Probably needs to get that checked out.
This seems like, from the fluff blurb, this thing seems atrocious. Like, absolutely atrocious.
Okay.
Atrociously good.
Okay, Blitzers are 9, so this is a character Blitzer, so it's probably going to be, like, 11, maybe 10.
Do you think it belongs to someone? Do you think it's Gunnbjorn's? Do you think it's...
Maybe Gunnbjorn, but I would probably have expected that to have been mentioned in the fluff blurb.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure all of the characters have...
No, because Imperatus didn't mention it in his fluff
no.
blurb.
No. We just assumed it was Vyros, and it just ended up being
well, it
right.
is special issue.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
So maybe this guy's special issue to someone. I just... For being character, I mean, I know there are definitely horse ones that aren't, but
yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
if anyone, I would obviously lean on
Gunnbjorn
as being the special issue.
What does Gunnbjorn give him?
Like guided fire.
What is guided fire again?
Boosted rolls?
Ranged attack rolls for your battle group.
Rat 1.
And then he also has. And then he
I
also
mean, he's
has,
gonna be aiming all the time.
Boosted rat 1.
He also has snipe.
Range 18, pretty good.
That's about it.
And a rock wall.
Yeah.
So what if this guy is just like rate of fire 3?
If just it's a K, if it is a K Doran bombard.
Yeah, but look at it. It has like the ammo like right there.
Yeah,
just
so
like
K
all
Doran
K Doran bombards do.
That's for firing the next round. It loads up while.
So it takes an entire turn in
yes.
order to reload.
If it is,
yes.
Even though it is right there.
Yes. If it is anything, yeah, because.
It's not rapid fire. Because
they're dumb.
Or anything.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. K Doran, they can't figure it out. They're not.
Yeah, they can. They put it on the Golar.
Not bombards. Oh,
no,
like
but automatic firing.
But I don't... If this is... If the gun is anything but a K-Doran bombard, I'm going to be surprised.
Maybe it's a Decimator beatback.
It's a K-Doran bombard. It says K-Doran bombard. It's a K...
So maybe it's Torch's flamethrower.
What if this guy has assault?
I can see that.
Sure.
That'd be kind of sweet.
Guided like, fire boosted rat 1. Could you,
I mean, at that point, you're drifting.
Could you hit...
There's,
you could hit a defense 10 on average.
It can't be inaccurate. Like, that's got to be... It's, if it's inaccurate, it has to have some other rules, and then it's not a K-Doran bombard anymore.
Right. Because you got bombers. Why wouldn't you just take bombers over this?
For the extra 4 inches of range? For
at
a
rat 1?
Way worse gun?
Yeah. Seems bad.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem as good.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I don't know.
I mean,
that's the thing.
It might completely surprise us, just like the lessers did. So like we can give some, we can give PP credit. They probably know what they're doing.
Oh yeah, no, I'm assuming.
But it's trolls, so what?
And they hate trolls.
They do. They got the worst lesser.
Right.
I don't know. I actually agree that like trolls played by good players are so devastating. That's kind of what Clockwork Vox in their last episode talked about. It was,
do you listen to other podcasts?
I do listen to other podcasts.
What?
That is a waste of time.
Sacrilegious.
Man, okay.
Then you're going to know that we're copying them when we just naturally copy them.
It's giant fists have to do something, right?
Yeah, punch things.
They're open fists.
It's
they have giant nails on them.
You can probably two-handed throw.
On the right arm, there's like three basically like artillery shells that are larger than a Kato and Bombard.
Oh, like on its fist?
Yeah, on its right.
Oh,
like,
I imagine look like camping supplies to me.
Yeah, like the pig can go down there and grab one and then bring it back up and reload in case it has to fire more than three times in the game.
Actually,
for fluff reasons.
Like, because you look around the model, like, everything that's on that model, like, on his armor and on his, like, waist and stuff like that, it's like, there's, like, money bags on his waist. It's like, well, Warby's
money
wouldn't
bags.
Use that. But the pig probably would.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm assuming all that stuff draped over his armor is all for that pig. And I assume the pig does something.
I mean,
the pig probably does the inspiration.
Well, he has a name, so he better do something.
I mean, and it's still all part of a model. It's not like he's got individual hitboxes or anything. You can't aim at him versus...
What if, like, when the Warbeast dies, he just becomes his own model?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like he's a Dragoon?
Sort of like they do on...
Yeah.
Sort of like on Bombers or Blitzers that don't do that now.
Yeah.
This one's different.
Yeah, but he
character.
Has a name. There are two guys there.
Ah, Smig, you gotta live.
Two, not one.
You gotta live, Smig. Yeah, don't worry, Smig. I'll always come after Crump first.
He just becomes a large base with a Kator and Bomber.
All right, I feel like we should move on.
That sounds probably okay.
Yeah, this guy's boring and lame.
Well, if you feel like we should move on, I guess we're moving on.
All right.
Yeah, like Colin's decision.
All right, next segment is from the forums. This one comes... Not to us, but he posted it on the PP forums, and now I'm going to take it from him.
Yep. What's his name?
Good luck. I got this.
Okay, go for
PG
it.
PG...
Underscore.
Norficker.
Norficker?
Norfinker.
21.
20, 21. 21. Okay.
Because there's 20
something
other
like
Norfinkers.
So... this
or
thread,
he's 21 years old, anyways.
This thread was called How to Play Makeda 2. And so, obviously, it kind of spoke to me a little bit.
Yeah, he pretty much asked you directly, right?
Yeah, directly asked me.
There's a question mark.
Here's on Minis Miami. Help me play Makeda 2.
You are the best Scorn player, bar none.
Statistically.
I'm not going to go that far.
That's just what this podcast does. We just claim to be the statistically best.
Okay,
player.
Yes. I am statistically the best Scorn player in the world.
Aren't you full of yourself?
What?
Aren't you full of yourself?
Okay. Yeah, I am. Okay, so basically, how to play Makeda 2. I'll kind of go through my list on what I do with Makeda 2. So my Makeda 2 list is actually, I run 20 Immortals, one Ancestral Guardian for the +2 movement for the Immortals, and then... just the trifecta of Warbeast with the Gladiator, Bronzeback, and Mulligan. Cannoneer. Not the Cannoneer.
Do not do this. I cannot reference.
You always run an Extoller, so that way like no one can hide from Mulligan. Nobody can just hide behind a forest or anything like that. I run Saxon. It's kind of a two-point, like because I need Pathfinder with Immortals. Because rough terrain and walls are a problem. That's basically my list.
Okay, so how do you play with her?
Obviously I always play with her is basically kill casters.
Obviously.
It's the only way she should be played.
Yeah.
It's probably other ways.
It's
just when you have like the dumbest, most reliable threat ranges in the game.
Yeah.
You just do it.
So there's a...
I got a line.
One problem, when people play Makeda 2, I always see the Archidon. And I know I've been criticized for playing the not playing the Archidon. But there's the reason why I don't like the Archidon, because he actually has a really predictable threat. Like, it's 17 inches is how far you can go with leash and Road to War and Rush. Mm-hmm. And the idea is when the Arcanon goes to kill a caster, you want to crit pinch it to go backwards. You want to...
The idea with Archidons is there is a 17-inch threat that they can go through any models and not take free strikes.
Yeah, but...
POW 16s is usually good enough to kill casters.
Is it?
Yeah.
Boost. I have.
Just like, what is it? Like, charge a POW 16 and then four more POW 16s that are all boosted to hit. At yeah,
top,
probably.
At top of two, if they misplay it...
Unless it's
they're
Terminus...
Have... Yeah, I mean, they're going to have, like, two or three focus on them, which put casters at roughly 18 to 20 damage. So it's dice off four how many times?
Probably, like, five.
So, yeah. That's how I've been beat by him before. It's just like, I measure this forward, and I'm making sure that I'm kind of as outside that threat range, but I didn't put one model next to, you know, Vlad 2 or something that would have stopped the Arcanon from being able to land immediately next to him and then just
yeah.
murder his face.
His the Arcanon assassination is much easier for people to stop because they can just place, like, four models around
right,
their caster
yeah.
and then
so I get
an
why
Arcanon can't get to them.
Yeah, because that's predictable. Mm-hmm. And, but if the person doesn't do that, you can make it happen. You can manufacture it, especially in later games as you slowly start to attrition their army down and they stop having models to be able to put next to their casters, that Arcanon just hangs in the back and just wait for it, and then go! And then they go flying and murder.
Like yeah. in Jurassic Park 3.
Yes.
Can't say I've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, don't.
It. No, what? No, that movie's amazing. Go see it.
The kid, like, drank a jar of piss so dinosaurs wouldn't eat him.
Yeah?
Pretty
wait,
sure
did that happened?
Drank? Maybe, no, I don't think he... I think he just poured it on himself.
Yeah, why would drinking it do anything?
Yeah, let's see what you do, Nick, when dinosaurs are after you, huh?
Yeah, I'm not going to take a dinosaur golden shower.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Oh, R. Kelly. An R. Kelly dinosaur.
I don't know, Nick.
Okay, anyway, so back to... I'm just saying that's why a lot of people play the Arcanon, and I think it has its merit. It's just... It's much easier to stop.
Actually, one reason why... like another reason why I don't like it is because I feel like it actually limits our game. Because you have a POW 16 7-point heavy that, like, really, he has the stats of a stalker. Mm-hmm. And he's a 14-17 with 24, 25 boxes, I think. Mm-hmm. And, but basically, I don't, like, one reason why I really don't like the Arcanon is because if you want to play attrition... He's always felt really bad to me. Because what I like to do with my Mullikarn the turns before I go for an assassination is try to sandpaper the outside of his army by charging Mullikarn forward before I activate Makeda. Take out one model, then sidestep, kill another, and then sidestep back, and then leash back, and then Fatewalker back. And then I'm back, what, like 11 inches? I killed two models, and my heavy isn't at risk anymore.
You know Arcanons have Lightning Strike as an animus, right?
Yeah.
So you could accomplish that exact same thing with
by spending Arcanons. 7 points after I'm already spending 8 points on another heavy that does the same thing. Like, that just spams an animus.
I think he means with, like, flight, without having to worry about your models.
He means heading and running.
Spamming an animus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As someone who has played the hit-and-run strategy with spamming Sprint Animi...
You have?
It works pretty good.
What faction is that?
It's like Signar.
Okay. Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, like, so the reason... I don't want to spend 7 more points on a heavy that is for assassination that isn't going to be able to kill another heavy. Like, it's just not going to happen. And then
can
also...
Can probably kill Stalker.
You can kill any Legion
it's
or Circle
at
heavy.
Mat 6.
I don't think you're probably going to use them against War Beasts. You're probably saving that guy up for an assassination.
I mean, that guy will kill a Stalker.
Okay.
Like,
or the weak War Beast.
I wasn't lying. Yeah, no.
Like, we play Scorn. If you don't have a heavy that can kill another heavy, there's a problem.
So is there no room in the list for another War Beast after their... Well, I guess you have 20, what you said, Immortals?
Yeah, Colin plays 20 Immortals, which usually people only play, like, one unit with her, and then how many are in four beasts in a battle group or something.
I mean, I don't
hate the two infantry idea. I certainly don't want you to load up another.
Yeah, speed eight immortals are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course. Reach too, right?
No, yep.
They're really bad. You shouldn't do it.
Especially when you get somebody to like trigger vengeance on one model, then they just have a 16-inch threat.
I mean, vengeance once, fool. Shame on you. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Got it.
I scooped halfway through that.
I think everyone.
You're in the middle of saying a statement, then you just stop yourself.
Yeah.
So what do you show as her strengths to start with?
Her strengths, definitely movement. Like
threat ranging.
Yeah, her threat range and just movement shenanigans in general.
Okay.
The reason why I just say movement is because she can't actually yo-yo back models.
So you're playing a circle game with Scorn.
Circle game with one model, just Mullikarn.
Just Mullikarn. Okay.
He sandpapers. Well, I keep kind of a bronze back with a 14-inch threat on him if I switch leash over to him.
Sure.
And then, her strengths are just kind of... She plays against the player more than she plays against the opponent's models. Because she just kind of sits back and she waits for the opponent to make a mistake.
Sure.
And that normally happens with casters. It's normally the big mistake.
So movement shenanigans and exploitation of errors on model placement.
Yep.
Okay. What do you think are her weaknesses?
Her weaknesses, I have always felt her weaknesses are actually armor. At least the way I play her, it's armor.
Okay.
And spiders. She hates spiders.
She does hate spiders.
And commitment.
She does like to be a free spirit.
I mean, she's pretty committed to our cause.
To cause.
But yeah, like her weaknesses, like I've always felt it's armor based on the way I play her.
Okay.
Because I only play three heavy war beasts. And Mullikarn can deal a good amount of damage, but if there's any kind of armor buffs, like warders just tear this list apart, kind of.
Because they can just withstand and say you can't do anything to us.
It takes two heavies, or it takes one heavy to kill two warders.
Right.
And then those warders kill that heavy in return, basically.
Right.
So it's just, it's so frustrating going up against those high armor, like, multi-wound troops. And also those, like, I actually do struggle against, like, an arcane shielded Stormwall.
Well, everybody does.
Yeah, I was just going to say, doesn't everyone?
I mean, it's...
Nope.
Just avoid it. Just avoid it. Yeah. And it's not there.
And he has a pure blood in his list.
Like, I do run around and storm, like, arcane shielded Stormwall is like a boss.
You run around them?
No,
he won rounds.
I won them.
Oh, one round.
Arcane shielded Stormwall is like a boss.
I mean, I have to deliver a bronze back to him.
Right.
And, I mean, the bronze bag threats 14 inches, so it's very likely that I can get that. But
delivery.
I would probably say one of her weaknesses, this is based purely off conjecture, is that, and kind of what we were discussing before, is that her trick is, once you've seen it, once you've had it happen against you, you can kind of, it's predictable.
Yeah.
And it can be mitigated in a way that can take away, I mean, when her spell list is leash, Road to War. I mean, Road to War definitely does a lot more than just that. But if you can make those spells less effective and less worth their fury points round to round, you can take away her power.
Yeah, I think that's pretty true.
Okay.
I'm not sure how you make plus 5 inches of movement
work against.
Go away.
Well, not go away. I'm just saying it like less than the...
My move. Gotcha.
Haha, gotcha, you're dead.
It's like, yeah. Shadowbind. Yes! Got him!
when I play with against say Keith or something like that,
sure.
He understands the threats and he can neutralize them by like his caster. He knows nothing can be basically within 6 inches of his caster, or Mullikarn might get there.
Right.
Like, so you can nullify some of the threats.
Right.
I think that's why I like my list. I love my list so much.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, look at him. God. He loves it.
Look at him.
It just sets up so many different threats that people have to commit to killing 20 immortals. They have to commit their army actually pretty hard to that. And so when they do commit their army, I get to actually like, I get to fight back so hard. it makes me so, and I'm not going to go for it.
I mean, you already said hard once.
A little low hanging for.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think that's kind of Makeda in a nutshell.
Okay. So what might be worth experimenting with her other than the things we discussed?
I've actually been thinking about guns. Getting superior threat ranges on your guns. So you, like, the idea, like, my idea was, like,
guns, I guess.
She increases the movement. So, like, right. One thing you could do is just give, like, Reavers have a mini feet snipe, and then you can press forward them with the Tyrant Commander and Standard Bear, and then cast Road to War. So they just advance 8 inches, and then they can shoot another 16. That's pretty legit.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all right.
And then when you still have the, like, obviously you still play a Mullet Karn and probably a Bronze Bag and Gladiator. Like, it kind of stinks because I feel like that's just the trifecta that I can't get away with in her list. Like, you just can't not play them. I've thought about using Tiberian, but then the fact that he can't benefit from Leash kind of, I don't know how much I actually like that idea.
Yeah,
because you might as well just be playing P. Morgul at that point and get +2 strength and +2 speed. Mm-hmm. But I see Nick is building a list.
No, I'm just tinkering around with it. Trying.
Yeah, he's got some sweet Siege Dojo.
Figure out. There's no P. Alexia.
Why are you playing P. Alexia? You have to play P. Alexia.
I definitely think that when the Arcanine first got spoiled, like, why? And then a bunch of people blew up on the internet because they were just like, just play two of these with Makeda and just always kill her caster with a charging, immune to free strike, flying model, blah, 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 blah. And then someone was just like, what if I just put these models here? And then they're like, oh, we should probably not play that many Arcanines. So, like, just doing the gimmick of just, like, got these, like, Mullet Karn and Arcanines coming for your caster. And then, like, if your opponent just mitigates that, then all of a sudden you have 2 Arcanines sitting in your list.
Yeah, they don't do much work outside of killing casters.
I think there is potential for a list that has one of them in it, so you can have multiple of your heavies kill stuff and walk away. Sort of like the Chromec-esque style.
I mean,
until they have to, like, commit their caster to being charged by an Arcanine.
Like, the only thing I don't like about that is because the only heavy we have that's speed 6 is Mullet Karn.
And Arcanines?
They're speed 7.
Yeah. Oh, that's even better. Yeah.
Well, like by 1.
Yeah, but you could, like,
I mean, going back 4 inches is not that good.
It's not bad. Plus, you can leash the thingy. That's 7 inches. Plus, if it had, yeah.
Plus, that space where that beast is, you can just fill with immortals.
Fill
all holes with immortals.
If you're going the Arcanine plan, then I don't think you're going 20 immortals.
Got one of those pesky holes? Just fill it with an immortal.
Because Mullet Karn could, like, charge in, kill something, sidestep, kill something, buy a couple of attacks, and then probably be around 8 inches from the front line just from a Fate Walker. And then a Bronzeback could, like, charge in, kill a couple of things. Or maybe, like, 1 or 2 things.
Yeah.
And then sprint back, and then Makeda could leash retroactively and just walk backwards.
Yeah.
Does leash trigger on normal movement?
Her movement.
Yeah,
at the end of her normal movement,
okay.
Yes.
So it is normal.
So she'd have to be within how many? What's the range on leash?
It's 6. Her control area?
Well, the range to actually target a model with it is 6.
Okay.
And so you would have to target it before or have Makeda far enough up where she can target
right.
the model and then go backwards.
That was the point I was trying to make, that you have to be a little bit close to where that Bronzeback was coming back so that you could throw the leash on it,
or
let her move, and then pull it back.
Or just have upkept it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, or do you not have that on Mullet Karn?
I almost always have it on Mullet Karn first, and then
okay.
when I want to go in and kill something with a Bronzeback, then I throw it on the Bronzeback.
Gotcha.
Because the reason why you always keep it on Mullet Karn is because then you have the threat to their caster. Because if you don't have it on Mullet Karn or keep your caster within 6 inches of Mullet Karn within, like, at all times, then you just lose leash. And you lose that threat to the caster immediately.
Yeah, I got you.
And you force them to play honest.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, she is the best caster in the faction. She should be played more.
Nope. Just no.
I will tell you, if you're a Makeda 2 player and you are struggling against, like, your average Signar, or sorry, your average Circle or Legion player, you're just doing something horribly wrong. Damn glass cannons.
You want to know the best thing to sidestep off of? It's a shifting stone.
Yep. You know the best thing to do to Mullet Karn? Spirit Fang.
You didn't do it.
Yeah, because your Orin Midwinter proxy was a legitimate Scorn model that could have been on the table. So I was like, cast a Spirit Fang, and then you're like, that's Orin Midwinter. I'm like, I'm dead.
Don't you just love those games?
At least pick something out of Faction, man. Come on.
Or not Spirit Fang, Muzzle.
Yeah.
Which would have been even better.
Fantastic.
God, I love that spell.
Yep, it was really annoying. He muzzled my bronze back.
That spell.
Yeah.
I was going to muzzle a bronze back and a Mullet Karn.
Yeah, I was there, Nick.
It was going to be the greatest.
You died hard.
I did. Two.
Die harder.
Die hard. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. That's going to be the next one, isn't it?
What's the one where they're in Russia with his son?
The most recent one?
Yeah.
Just Die Hard 5?
No, it's Live Free and Die Hard?
Yep.
No, that was the second newest one.
That was like
a good day to Die Hard.
From Russia with Die Hard.
Oh, it was so goddamn terrible, though. That movie was,
I didn't see it. Oh, I haven't seen any of the Die Hards other than one.
It was
saw the Always Sunny adaptation.
Yeah. It's a really bad action movie that just happened to have Bruce Willis in it, so they called it a Die Hard movie.
Like a lot of action movies.
Like, yeah, just like a terrible sci-fi.
So like G.I. Joe 2, Die Hard 7.
Yes. Absolutely. Because Bruce Willis is in it.
Yeah. He's the original Die Hard Joe.
God, but the first Die Hard was so good.
Yeah.
I watch it every year.
And 2 was
kind of.
And 3 was, it was okay.
Wait, was 2 the airport one?
Yes.
Yes. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, Bruce Willis was in the movie
was
Looper.
Good.
It had Samuel Jackson,
Jeremy Irons,
time travel.
I mean, he was
time travel hard.
That movie wasn't called Loop Hard. It was just called.
Should have been called Loop Hard. I didn't see that movie. It looked like it might have potential.
Yeah,
I actually liked it.
It was pretty good.
Mm. I'll need to watch that sometime then.
All right.
I mean, I said I liked it, so you'll probably never see it.
There are some movies you like that I.
All right, on to Colin's wild and crazy and idiotic speculation corner.
I like the addition of idiotic.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was an addition.
Well, yep. Crazy and idiotic speculation.
I thought it was just assumed.
100% true. All right, what are we doing?
All right, so you guys don't know what this is, but...
I don't have a writing utensil. All
right, forget it. We're
my hand wide open.
Yeah. So I decided I wanted to make Epic Zol.
Tell me he has resolve.
That says Epic Zol. I thought that said Epic Zah.
That's how you spell Zol.
No, there's an L before the exclamation.
Oh, okay.
Epic Zol,
Epic Pizza.
Exclamation,
like an epic pizza, yeah.
Exclamation.
It's a giant pizza.
Great, now Nigel's going to make his face a giant pizza. Great. Thank you, Fox.
Pizza the Zol.
Pizza the Zol.
Epic Zah.
All right.
I want pizza.
So stat line, his armor goes up by 1, his rat goes up by 1, his mat goes up by 1, and his fury goes up by 1. So he's fury 8 now.
So he goes to rat right. 7?
Yes.
And mat 6?
Yes.
And def 15, arm 15?
His def did not change. Or
why does
his
mat go up by 1? Just leave his mat at like crap. Like
it's def 15, arm 14.
Yeah, so it went up to 15-15.
No, his defensive stats didn't change. Oh, his armor changed, yes. So he's a 15-15. I don't even know how to read anymore.
Wow. Okay.
So what else? Okay. So he has the same gun, which gives... It's a POW 6 and a gate... or it.
Yeah, it's the poo handler Zod.
Yeah. Ghost, so it gains plus, like, whatever that model's strength is.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Chip. The Poopzot strength.
He also keeps Soul Converter, which lets him spend one fury to give soul tokens out to Ancestral Guardians.
Nice.
He gains Coal Soul.
Oh, boy.
So he'll be able to turn those souls into...
Oh, boy.
Turn souls souls that you guys don't know that he collects yet.
Right. I mean, if he
you kind of gave away that one.
He has Coal Soul. Enemy living models within 2 inches of him. He gains souls.
Yep. With his Death 15, Arm 15, he's going to be up
there.
Get
up there.
Get in that business.
He's got a new ability. It's... when a friendly immortal dies, this model gains one soul token.
Anywhere? Yep. Doesn't have to be in a control area?
It's in his control area.
So
forgot to
like
type that out.
Claimer,
so it's
sort
16
of?
Inches?
It is 16 inches.
My God.
My God, those 20 souls.
Do Ancestral Guardians have souls?
No,
they do actually have.
In the fluff, they are basically like soul-bounded stone constructs.
They're constructs, though.
They're constructs have like the greatest Scorn Warriors souls bound to them. They're basically Ed from Full Metal Alchemist, but made out of rocks.
Fair enough.
Basically, yeah. It frustrated me when Convergence got to make
the real Eds.
Ghost in the Machine. Yeah.
But yeah, so he collects soul tokens from immortals now.
Yep.
His spell list, he keeps Last Stand because that spell is amazing.
I feel like if you have a spell named Last Stand and you go epic, it shouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah.
Or he died from Last Stand and is now Ghost Zol.
Oh my God, I hope that happens, actually.
What do you hope that? I mean, why? It can happen. Just say it.
So you can have a pizza ghost.
Yes.
Pizza
ghost.
Yeah, so now he's going to be immune to freeze strikes because he's incorporeal.
He's not incorporeal.
Yes. Now he is.
Yeah.
All right, he has a new spell. It costs two. It's called Call of the Ancestors. The ability is every immortal starting this model's control area gains plus 2 inches of movement, boosted melee attack rolls, and one additional attack.
Is this an upkeep?
It is not an upkeep.
So, is it cost two spell that is better than, like, half the feats in the game?
What? No, one unit.
At the price of bringing a unit of immortals, which are atrocious and terrible.
They're terrible. No one.
It is
not an upkeep.
Wait, so then you could cast it on two units of immortals.
No, it says every immortal
in
starting in his
area.
Control
yeah,
area.
So you said it only affects one unit. Immortals are FA2.
Okay, yes.
I thought he could just keep stacking it on one unit.
No. same named abilities don't stack.
Okay.
Yeah,
it gives immortals boosted melee attack rolls, plus 2 inches of movement, and an additional attack.
How many times do they attack now?
One.
Okay.
So it's only two mat 6 boosted to hit POW 13.
What's the rest of the spell list? Do you have any other way of buffing
them? Hopefully literally nothing.
Fury?
He has Defender's Ward.
Uh-huh.
He has Purification.
Okay.
Of course.
I mean, because his Hex Blast needed to be upgraded.
Right. And
so
he's now Focus 8. So, yeah,
he's now
of course.
Focus 8.
Yeah.
Side-graded it to Chasin or whatever the hell that spell is.
He also has a new spell. Another new spell. It's cost 2. It's called Reconstruct. I like how you noticed that. It's called Reconstruct.
Yeah, Reconstruct is a spell.
Okay, it's going to be called something else with Construct in it.
Recon Bob the Builder. It's just called Bob the Builder. Reconstruct is the spell Centurion has, right?
Yeah, it is.
Wait, what does Reconstruct do?
It's Respawn for Warjacks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the spell that...
Yeah, well, it's not going to be that Reconstruct. It's going to be a new spell.
It's going to be a Reconstruct, like, asterisk.
It's just Reconstruct... Reconstructor.
Conjure, dude.
Basically, it's Revive for Constructs.
Yes.
Revive for Constructs.
And
that is what his Reconstruct is.
And they can't make attacks the turn they come back?
Of course they can.
Have you read Mockery of Life?
Have you read Revive?
Yeah, so the spell costs 3.
It costs...
No, this is cost 2.
So it's like Mockery of Life.
Yeah.
But it's only immortals.
No, it's
not
Mockery.
But it's only immortals, right?
It's constructs.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
And they can still be under Call of the Ancestors, so they'll come back and make two attacks. boosted with plus two movement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the problem here.
Well, they also have Vengeance.
I mean, I see the problem with him not being Fury 5.
Yeah. This guy does not seem that broken.
Don't forget he's collecting the souls.
Colin,
from
what would
boss.
I tell you if two of my units in my army just always had boosted melee attack rolls and two attacks each at less than a point a model?
Be revived.
And also have Last Stand. Because that one spell,
oh, yeah.
Because that one spell you named so, was not an upkeep.
It just have four.
This is the final last.
So it is. So it is this 10-man unit that gets to go 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 16 inches if they've vengeance. At two attacks each, four dice to hit,
and
four dice damage. Power 13.
Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with this.
Also, purification.
There is no...
purification.
There is zero problem with this.
Don't forget, he's also reviving these and collecting souls from them.
Maybe if he was Def 10, Arm 5. Or like right. Def 10, Arm 12. Or, you know, something.
And incorporeal. All
right.
Some four now, mages will kill
we haven't even gotten to his feet yet.
Oh, yeah, his feet. I hope it's like Mozart's or something.
He just doesn't have one.
Copy paste.
Yeah.
His feet is, it's called The Old Ways Live On.
Of course.
When friendly construct models in this model's control area are destroyed, they return in this model's control area in formation of the unit. Solos return within 3 inches of this model.
So you get their souls and then they come back.
Yeah.
Holy shrimp.
This is just too over the top.
No, it's not. The last stand thing was
no believability about
this. I'm going to draw your attention to the name of this segment.
He did say idiotic. He added idiotic.
Okay.
All right. He did that for us.
Okay. Okay, guys. Okay.
Can we change the feat name to I like that old time rock and soul?
Yes. Okay. Oh, my God. Yes.
All right. Then this cast
Bob Seger is solo. Just, yeah, the score and solo of Bob Seger. He's just standing there, just playing guitar. He's sweet as hell.
And on his card, we just cut his face out and put it on.
And the Kobos now is now sliding across the room like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Shirt with the glasses on, just slides out.
Okay.
I like that old time rocking soul.
I mean, that's a better
feeling. Okay, now that you guys have ripped my speculation apart. The reason
I want this
caster or something like it so bad is because I love Immortals and I want more reasons to play them. And I want recursion for Immortals to actually make them immortal.
Then what's the point of playing against them when you have an actual immortal group to fight against?
More Immortals. It's like playing against Krix.
Yeah, except the Krix models aren't. Def 12, Arm 17 with Vengeance, two attacks each, POW 13, MAD 6 boosted melee attack rolls, and a 13-inch threat range.
They're MAD with Vengeance.
They're MAD 5, Def 12, Arm 12 with a 9-inch threat.
And the recruiting
can also
comes
bring
into
back,
Mechanithralls.
Can
versus,
also bring back Banes.
Yeah.
Yeah, only like one caster, and he's terrible.
Two casters, and both are really
amazing.
I mean,
technically, it's like... Gorshade 1, 2, 3.
Anyways.
It's the Gorshades and the Lich 2. And only two of them are good at it.
Yeah.
Gorshade 3 is amazing.
Yeah, I know. He's solid.
Yeah. But yeah.
Solid
I want
like a turd.
Anyways. I want recursion mechanics for those Immortals so bad.
Yeah, that's fine. If
they might not be able to get this call
yeah,
of the ancestors.
They can't do all of that stuff, but some sort of recursion mechanic for Immortals. Be cool if there was like a guy that, if you had like an Enigma Foundry, but for Immortals instead. So it's just like a poo handler guy in the back collects souls and then puts them into new Immortals and pumps them out.
Yeah, Bob
that's
Seger
actually.
That.
I like that old time rocking soul.
You just have to get Nidal to take a picture, like make us all look like Bob Seger.
I mean,
and have a pizza face.
I mean,
and have a pizza face. Yeah. Yeah, I was actually thinking about something like what you were talking about, Nick, with like a character immortal unit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what I want, is just Necrosurgeons, but for immortals.
Yeah, you guys don't have your...
We don't have a character unit yet.
No one does in Hordes except for Legion.
But you do have
so stop complaining about your stupid Nephilim.
And Trolls.
Whatchamajig. Oh, yeah, they got theirs. Stupid
it's,
people.
It's Sons just...
Brag.
Yeah, so it's just Circle and... I hope...
And Minions.
Okay, Minions isn't a real faction. I just hope Circle and Scorn get theirs in this book. That's my biggest hope.
Probably not happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
too
Scorn,
much coming down.
Scorn's yep. not getting a character Warbeast because we got Despoiler in the last book, and it looks like everybody else is going to get a character Warbeast in this book. So, man. I mean, we can just get a character unit. I'm fine with
is
that.
Is the Shaman supposed to be a character?
I don't know if that's actually known for sure. I think a lot of people are assuming that it is.
Okay. Yeah.
All I know is there is a heavy Warbeast that is a Shaman. That is what I know 100%.
Shaman
sure.
Satyr guy.
Yes. I think it's going to be a character. Like, it's just speculation, because this is Collins' wild speculation. I believe it's going to be a character.
It's
wild, it's
crazy, and idiotic speculation. Anyways.
No, that wasn't idiotic. That was just crazy and okay, a little idiotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, time to move on. Now we're on.
Immortals can be immortal. They just can't do that much work and be immortal.
Because that just becomes unfair and broken.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll give you that.
I think it's fair.
All right, Charlie, make this caster happen and prove Nick wrong.
I mean, this is nothing to prove wrong. A caster would break the game.
No, if he's really good, he wouldn't break the game.
I think it would be cool if there was a variation, like a very,
like,
very
like
dumbed
a,
down
like
variation.
Like a potentially fair
yeah.
caster.
You can still just kill this caster. He's still just def 15, arm 15.
He's got a 16-inch control area. He can do everything he wants
I think,
from the table.
I think removing the souls from like immortals is a cool idea, but like he literally can't have a spell list.
We can act like P-Sevy isn't just terrified of Killbox.
Yeah, but P-Sevy doesn't do nearly... You know what P-Sevy's feed does? Because yes. I don't. Right, like he doesn't. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have.
I thought you were gonna make a really strong point.
It involves
just like, well,
yeah, that threw me off entirely.
It involves channeling, right?
No,
that you
it,
like can't channel.
It
or...
strips focus off their caster.
That's
and they don't
right.
replenish.
Yeah, and then like Sevy dies.
And, yeah,
yeah.
That's what it does. It is. Beat, haha, got your focus. Oh god, a bullet.
Oh god, bullet.
So,
yep.
All right. Next segment.
Oh, there
it is. We're middle under Epic Zol.
Met
and
Dojo.
Have...
Yeah, it's like,
God. That...
Probably just, yeah. Oh.
That's the Mad Dojo chicken. You can't cut it out.
That wasn't really a chicken. I don't know.
It was a mad chicken.
It was cray cray.
Yeah.
All right. So I have Dojo.
Skip
Collins Dojo.
Because I've been talking this entire podcast.
So we need a Colin break to bring back from to reality.
So I Dojoed Epic Zol. He's broken as fuck.
Oh my god, I'm going to play this caster this week.
Yeah. I will play. All right, we'll play that game. I'll play more Vana too.
Then you're still going to tear me apart.
She's the best caster in the game, so we will compare how well Zol 2 does against more Vana 2. I have a feeling that game will not be close in favor of Zol.
He's going to throw the game. Reporting now, he's thrown the game.
All right,
you're
so,
going to revive stuff and kill a 15-15 caster. It's not that big a deal for more Vana 2.
Sundry Spirit him to death.
Yep.
Done. All right, go.
All right, so the last time on the podcast with Chris, I had the Circle Sensei of mine here. In the middle of us discussing all of the new releases, we were trying to figure out where everything went because they gave us way too much stuff in way short of a window of
time. You guys just got like a gift bag of crap thrown in your heads.
Yeah, which was really bad for us because then we couldn't like – it was just like being in a pile of awesome
crap
sweetness. It was like we were both in a ball pit and we couldn't figure out how to get out because it was so much fun.
Yeah.
But everybody loves this new Griffin. But I wanted to build a list where it was doing more than just being a support animus, which seems to be a lot of the ways people are going with it, which is fine, because that animus is really, really good. But its star action is also really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So its star action, for those of you who may not know, is... something screech. I forgot the exact.
Shrill.
Shrill shriek.
Shrill shriek.
Oh, I know what it is.
It's called Shrillix, and it starts playing dubstep.
God. Son of a
lance. Double drops. And then the guy's ears just bleed out of his nose. He's like, dubstep.
No, can we modulate this? Of course we can. If we modulate this. Right, I almost said it there.
Take a pow aid to your eardrums.
It is a star action that within 2 inches of the griffin, models take a pow 8 damage roll. Which is sweet, because it's not blast damage, and I don't have to roll the hit and stuff, and it's boostable, because it doesn't say it isn't. Which is actually really clutch.
Yeah.
Until the next Tirada.
In looking at... In looking at that star action, I immediately started looking towards Kaya, because her major issue are infantry swarm lists. Like she, when I said earlier that I have no issues one rounding a arcane shielded storm wall, it's because I am playing Epic Kaya and like a forced evolutioned blessed Getarix just like leaves a storm wall with like 6 boxes on average.
Right.
I think less than that, actually.
What do you go up like to pow 20,
maybe?
You go up to pow plus strength 21, which is 19. Dice plus 2.
Yeah.
And a free charge.
Yeah. Yep. So, what's your charge threat?
It's variable depending on a bunch of things.
Or whatever.
The max is 15.
Okay. So it's always 15.
No, because it depends on black clads, which can die fairly easily.
Yeah, it's really
except
it's
in
always
this,
15.
Except in this loo list.
Come on,
they,
we're in the Tom Gwan dojo here. It
die.
Is always the max number.
So I reached to them for Kaya. For one, that star action is very good.
Which
because
Kaya?
That, Kaya 2. Because
okay,
the star
Kaya
action
two
helps solve her infantry swarm problem. Because usually
right
when I play Kaya 2, I have blood trackers in the list because they're very good at killing pretty much most infantry
right
in the game.
Right.
But that sucks, because then my blood trackers can't go on my other list. And as a circle player, the number one character that you have to worry about with character restrictions is Nuala.
Yeah.
It's not Getarix or Megalith. Like,
right.
Obviously not Morag. So I wanted to try them out to see if my Kaya 2 list could be good, well-rounded enough without taking up blood trackers. So the list is Kaya, a Druid Wilder, Getarix, Gorax, Pureblood, Warpwolf Stalker, 2 Rotterhorn Griffins, 2 Blackclad Wayfarers, and then Shifting Stones plus the UA. And what I've found with the list is that the Rotterhorns are bonkers in terms of clearing infantry, but their animus is also extremely helpful for Kaya, because traditionally on the her battle group is something like the beast that I've just mentioned.
Right.
Minus the Rotterhorns, plus maybe some, like, I don't know, like another Stalker, or maybe like a Feral.
Yeah.
Or like
what you normally see on.
Or if I cut these Rotterhorns, they're trackers. So normally the battle group is what I mentioned, non-Rotterhorns.
Right.
So Kaya on her feet turn usually is back pretty far enough. Sometimes you want to cast Dogpile. Oftentimes you don't need to.
Sure.
And so I have found when I play her that my feet turn, I just end up like dumping 4 fury on my caster just off. Because I usually on her feet turn camp
oh,
like
sure
1 or 0.
Yeah, because you're usually running real hot on everything you have on
yeah
her.
Plus she is pretty safe being like stealth and very far back.
Right.
And, like,
so hot.
With Alaris close to her that she can be on like 0 camp and usually like nothing threatens
right
her really. So it sucks, because then there's just 4 Fury that you just dump. Because, okay, well, like, sweet, we could cast some Animi, so I could cast Sprint. That's real useful on Kaya's feet turn.
Right.
I could cast Blessed, which you usually need only, like, 1 of, usually, on the feet turn.
Right.
Or I could cast Ornery on Kaya herself, which does literally nothing.
Yeah, get some.
Or I could Primal some things up, which is
bad for reasons I've said before. I hate Primal League Beast on her free turn because you lose the 1-2 punch power that her feet brings.
Right.
So I think if you're primaling on her feet turn, you're going to have a bad time.
So what was your beast loadout again? I'm sorry.
It was Stalker, Pureblood, Getarix, Rotohorn, Rotohorn, Gorax.
Okay.
And Lairus, obviously.
Yeah.
So I played against an Irisk list. I've only played this list once, but this was a good matchup to test how the Rotohorns would play out, because Kanor brings a lot of infantry usually.
Right.
And usually high-def infantry, so Rotohorns were... I'm like, this is the test. This is the... If I can beat this Irisk list, like, I have... This list has potential.
Yeah. What was he bringing? What infantry
It was like
have?
Irisk with a Spriggan on him, and then some IFP regular modes. Widowmakers and like Chaosy Assassins, the Great Bears, and then Grey Lord Outriders. That's pretty much the list.
Okay.
So he feeded defensively.
This is the game that I.
Yeah, this is the game that we watched. So
he feeded defensively, and then you.
With Iris, which gives
like
his entire
all over
army.
His face.
Which gives his army plus tough on 4-6.
Yep.
And immunity to knockdown, which is really annoying on Iron Flesh Chaosies.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing on this.
But Kaya, on her feet turn, was able to, since she was going to dump all her fury, instead cast the Rotohorn Griffin Animus twice on both of the Rotohorn Griffins.
Sure.
Then the Rotohorn Griffins, and then she walked back a little bit. The Rotohorn Griffins, on her feet turn, each cast their Animus on the two Blackclads. Then both of them just walked forward and went, screech! Screech! So, like, one of them... I was able, with the like a Blackclad, to clear off two Chaosies that I needed to get out of my way so that this Griffin could land in like the perfect spot by only taking like one freeze strike, and I did. And it just got to screech on like six Chaosy twice.
Is it is it 2 inches in all directions?
Yeah.
Like 360
so,
degrees?
What would you say
so
the noise?
Your own stuff.
Right.
What does the noise of a screech sound like?
Caca.
Yeah.
It sounds like, whoa, beloved dub dub.
Now you got to model one of them.
And then the other one went to the other side and screeched on, like, some IFP and Widowmakers twice.
Right.
So that is a large area. So, like, I'm sure people are thinking, like, God, six Chaosy. That's like, those Chaosy had to be really close together. They weren't. It's just a medium base plus 2 inches is a 6-inch circle.
Yeah, they really weren't
where
close together.
It's not a drift. I get to choose where my model is going to go.
Right,
yeah. Like, there. Ka-ka! Like, half of them lived. Ka-ka again! They didn't make their tough checks the second time around.
Right.
And then, like, the rest of the list was able to do, you know, kill, like, one or two models
each. Sure, sure, sure.
But the Rotohorns really shine. So I think this list has a lot of potential. Also, Black Cloud Wayfarers that never die are pretty dumb. Because they're just like, spray, teleport away.
Right.
Or spray, teleport away. Or Hunter's Mark, teleport away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They stay around to the late game and make a difference in terms of Hunter's Mark, sprays, anything you need to have them do, utility-wise.
Which also helps with the infantry clearing.
Right.
Problem.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, they're a toolbox just the way that my Grailer Tiernans are. Because I'm like, cloud, cloud, cloud. Hey, the infantry's on our doorstep. Spray them to death. Let's keep going.
So the 12-point package of Rotohorn, two Blackclads can kill a surprising amount of infantry. But
wait, is Una in this list?
She's not.
She's not? Okay.
I didn't want her in the list. Someone had suggested on the forums, because I posted this list on the forums, of putting Una in to put Rotohorns on her. But I didn't like that for two reasons. One, Rotohorns without stealth. Worse than Rotohorns with stealth. And two, Rotohorns on her feet turn are extremely devastating because you, like, caca twice wherever the heck you want, and then your Rotohorns don't die.
Right.
So...
I mean, Kaya does so much for a battle group. I can't imagine... if you have a War Beast in that list, it needs to be on Kaya.
Yeah. I didn't run hot on the turn. The
really?
Turn. So...
You weren't boosting any of those POW 8s or anything?
Well, some of them were... I boosted on the other boss.
Okay.
But
they
on Chaosies, I need 4s to kill.
They automatically hit, right?
Yeah.
Auto hit.
Yep. It's just models within 2 inches suffer a POW 8 damage.
Oh, Nis Hunters and Gun Mages are so sad.
Yep. But yeah, it, like...
Hey, Griffin's coming! Shoot it down!
So, like,
shoot it down!
I didn't realize how much I... Like, when I dojoed the list, I was like, God, Rotohorns with her. They're going to help solve her infantry problem. They're going to make Blackclads not die.
Right.
But when it went to her feet turn, and I was like,
oh my God, I have something to do with the Fury on her other than dump it.
Right.
I was just like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Because like I said, normally she's just like, pop my feet, dump like three Fury, walk away. So.
Because everything's going to be running so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But instead, get work done. Why not?
So I am in love with that list. And the best part is it takes Getarix, who is a character I care nothing about. Like, he pretty much is in, like, Chromac, Kaya 2, Baldur 2, Morvana 1, I guess.
Right.
But of those casters, the ones that I play are Chromac and Kaya.
Right, right.
And I wouldn't play them too.
I just thought about how Circle just got three new models, and their Satyr still isn't out.
Yeah. Or we have no idea what our caster's going to be. Stone Cold, no idea. We know all the other factions' casters, not Circle's.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not getting one. I'm okay with that.
No new casters. You got Epic Morvana last month. You can take a break.
The Satyr Shaman is actually a Warbeast caster.
Nah, you can
that
have...
That is a Warbeast himself.
You can have another Grail.
I mean, that's fine. He'll
Grail
just,
too.
He'll
even
up,
worse than the first.
He'll end up in the hole with the other Grail. But yeah, this... If you like the idea of this list, any Circle players listening, I urge you to try it out. Give me your feedback. I have a thread on the mom boards under the tactics. The Crump's current lists thread. So give me your feedback. I've only played one game with this list, but it felt pretty good.
So it's a proven good list. It's like
it
a tournament
looks pretty
ready.
Good.
I would play this at a tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see
Kaya 2 presents.
I mean, I would play any list I build at a tournament. Hey, I took that siege list to a tournament.
That's the most bold statement you've ever said. Any list I build, I will take to a tournament and I will play it.
Well,
with
mean...
my own models that I bought with my money. You're going on a limb there, Colin.
This was another one of those lists where it doesn't happen for me very often in Circle, but like that Kruger 2 list, that Kruger 1 and that Kruger 2 list, when I was just like, I'm going to do this. And then like I put it all together and I was like, oh my God, this fits. It's like a perfect puzzle. I have all the pieces. It does exactly what I want it to. This is the list. Don't need to play test it. It can't get better. Like that never happens. And it's been happening a lot since I got back into Circle.
So this happened twice.
With that Kruger 1, Kruger 2, and now Kaya 2 list.
Twice is a lot.
Whereas before I was dojoing Kaya 2 lists, and I was like, I can't really, there's like 7 points. I don't know exactly what I want it to be, blah, blah, blah. This one, I'm like, nope, done.
Yeah.
Can't get better. Ever. What? You don't have that feeling ever?
Yes, I do it all the time, because I've never had somebody build all of my lists for me.
I feel like you don't. Do that all the
time.
Then
he builds a Striker 3
list. Alexia ends up in your siege list.
He doesn't do it all.
Yeah,
time.
And that list is amazing.
And then he
don't give
a,
me that.
Then he builds a Striker 3 list and tells me how god awful they are.
Okay,
twice in a row.
That is a terrible caster, though. Like, he is an F.
Oh my god.
100% an F.
Wow. Yeah, blame the caster.
F for Fury?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yes, F for Fury. He's a solid
F for finally for Signar. They got somebody with armor cracking.
Something they've had
wildly
Kane 2 and Siege.
Something wildly different.
F for freaking awesome.
And then
right.
A because he's an A cast.
Did you have another dojo list you wanted to talk
about?
We
can save it. Someone else do dojo. All
right. Well, you felt like you were talking too long?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
All right.
I mean, we might as well switch it up.
I have another wonderful gem from across the pond.
Oh,
JVP and I have been talking.
I thought this list is like identical to the other one, plus or minus 5 points.
No.
Is this going to cause JVP to rage?
Maybe. If people question it, he'll come out of the woodwork, create a forum name, and then just rage on somebody.
Only for two posts.
For two posts.
That was my favorite part. Was he? I was like, oh, Jamie's posting. I was like, wait, post one? What?
Yeah, it's his first time ever posting on our forums
He found it so necessary to correct people on their Kador thoughts.
I mean,
so I actually like submitting this because then he'll post on our forums more because I'll spoil his lists and then he'll end up doing something.
Like if he's posting on our forums, every Kador player is going to start posting.
Yes,
on our
keep
forums.
Giving him reasons to rage at people.
All right, it's very similar to the Jack Heavy Butcher 3 list, but it's got some interesting things on it. Now, when I take Butcher 3, I have been known every once in a while to take one, maybe.
Like we're in an infomercial all of a sudden.
What?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I take
yep.
Butcher 3,
yep.
I don't know about you.
If you're like me, and I know I am. I like to take shield guarding models on Butcher 3 because he gets shot in the face a whole lot. So I usually take like some Bokurs and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, Jamie kind of came up with an idea that I found interesting.
Of taking Bokurs of them?
No. Taking a much more stable shield guard.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now this is... I understand everything now. This is terrible.
It's just coming down.
Well, I don't, so keep going.
All right, yeah, Butcher 3. His layout, his battle group is Juggernaut, Juggernaut, Grolar.
So it's the same battle group as last time, except the Spriggan has become a Grolar?
Yes.
Okay.
And a War Dog, of course.
Wait, it was two Juggernauts last time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Juggernaut, Juggernaut, Spriggan.
Okay.
Now it's Juggernaut, Juggernaut, Grolar.
Okay. So it's two Juggernauts last
yep.
time.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, Lance.
I'll stop.
No, all it's right. fine. It's fine. It's fine. I gave you a lot of crap during yours. side battle group. Rolik Moorclaw, the Ironmonger, with a Vanguard.
Huh.
So that is...
Now, for those of you that
points.
Don't know what Rolik Moorclaw does, because you don't care...
He costs 2 points and allows for Kadar players to bring Vanguards.
Yeah. And we'll repair all of our Jacks, including the Vanguard. You'll repair all of them.
Oh, he's got that special serviceable
yep,
rule.
He's got that mechanically adept. He can attempt yep. to repair friendly non-faction War Jacks and Battle Engines.
Does he have a drive?
Yes,
yeah,
he does. Hogwild.
Not very worthwhile.
It's perfect.
So, drive War Jack. If it passes, the War Jack can make one ranged attack this activation before its normal movement. After its normal movement, the War Jack can only make melee attacks at activation. So on a Vanguard, it's shoot with the shield cannon, run in, goose army, stat.
Yeah. You're probably not going to do that.
Probably not going to do that. But it's a repair 8. And I've got 4 Jacks in the list.
Mm-hmm.
Seems yeah. pretty good. And he also has assault himself, but it's like range 4.
Yeah, it's a slug gun.
Yes, it is. Range 4, POW 14 slug gun with a POW 13 battle axe. So, that's that. We've got the Iron Fang Pikeman Black Dragon version with the Iron Fang Kovnik, a Colden Lord to help fuel the Jacks, Epic Iris, full unit of
Epic Iris?
No, Eris. Iris. The can't talk.
Oh my god.
There's
a Epic
K,
Iris.
There's a K at the end.
Epic Iris, Widowmakers, and Ragman's in there, but that could be floated around to various other things. So, like, either Saxon Oric or something else.
So what changed from last time?
There
were Widowmakers last time, right?
You weren't yeah, even listening.
Kel Balok was in the list.
Yes, it was.
So Kel Balok has dropped from
right.
Ralik.
Right.
And then there's another 5 points that disappeared. One was from the Grolar.
Right.
And
so
then
4 more, I think.
Turnians are gone.
Turnians are gone.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the exact same list, plus or minus 5 points.
Right.
It's actually plus or minus 7. But.
Right. It was
yeah,
him tweaking the list. I haven't had a chance yeah. to play it yet, but I've been just thinking about it and how interesting it is to have a fully heavy shield guard with the high def to mm-hmm. protect that can be easily repaired by
so,
a semi-hard to kill model.
Is it Moorclaw?
Moorclaw.
Moorclaw?
Yeah.
Moorclaw.
Is he
Moor? C-L-A-W.
Yes.
Yeah. Kador can't take Gaston, right?
Yeah, that's
no,
what
we can't.
Ask.
He's Lyleese.
Okay, that was,
yeah,
what,
I
that
wish.
Was exactly what I was
going to say. No, if I could take Gaston, that would be 100% different.
Maybe you should
yeah.
be an inconsiderate expansionist.
That'd be fantastic. If we could get Piper, if we could get Gaston,
no.
We would have a great time. Yeah. That's what, I mean, being able to get Vanguards from like Zerkova's tier list or theme list
yeah.
was always like a huge mind-blowing thing for
yeah.
Kador, so being able to get Vanguards in our list to be able to do stuff is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, the battle group runs together. I talked to him about it. We're going to kind of do some vassal playtesting with it, but the idea is that those Jacks move forward with the Grolar kind of in the back to eventually clean stuff up in the midfield when everything collides. Then the shield guard Jack sitting in the back to shield guard everything, take the damage so that it can be repaired.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of protects in peace trades for Butcher.
Sure.
Supposed to be pretty decent.
The only thing I don't like about it is...
Everything.
No, it's losing the Grey Lords.
Oh, okay.
Because his
yeah,
Jacks
yeah.
were like almost guaranteed to do work before
because of
Ice
Cage.
They would have a like a 10-inch or something threat range at Mat 8, pound 19.
That's pretty good.
Right.
And now they're Mat 6, pound.
Would you lose Widowmakers for it?
I don't know. All I'm saying is I don't know. That's the one thing I don't like about the new list.
Right.
So, the old list didn't have shield guards in it, though.
No, I had no shield guards. I'm just saying I've done it in the past where I've run multiple, like, you know, book hoards or something like that on Epic Alexia or something like that.
If you're worried about Epic Eris shooting you in the face, just spend all of your focus so her shot doesn't do anything.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
No, like, legit, you just allocate focus and energizer until you need him to actually murder somebody.
Right. And then he feats, brings back the six to camp focus, and then she shoots him off of that. And he's usually midfield to be killed.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm going to play it. I will come back with some reporting as to how it works, but I think it's got interesting potential.
Yeah. Yep. Does the solo have Ice Cage thing? The Grey Lord solo?
No.
I thought
he's got
still
did. Power booster. He's got...
I thought he still had Ice Cage.
Maybe. No, yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Yeah, so, okay, that might still be okay.
Yeah, he has Frostbite, Ice Cage, and Power Booster. Yep.
Just
so he's got a spray.
Mat 6
got,
to 8. Really important for Warjax.
Yes.
Is it only against living?
No, it's just whatever.
Any model it hits.
None. Unless they're immune to cold lance.
Oh, gosh.
Come on. Doesn't work on
Winter
Arguses.
Who has immune to cold?
Or Borka.
Winter Arguses.
Borka's immune to cold.
Your Winter Arguses.
Zerkova's immune to
cold. Yes. Zerkova. Sorsha.
Yeah, my own faction. You're right. I'm consider myself corrected.
I feel like one of the Legion casters. I feel like Veil 1 is... Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong.
Potentially.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Yep.
So
all Circle casters immune to cold?
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, I wish I was immune to cold.
The Animus is
like,
so sick.
I get so cold.
I'm not immune to cold. Holy cow, I'm freezing right now.
Yeah. All right, that's my dojo.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So, are we on me? Can I talk again?
Yeah, it's been a while.
We should just skip.
No,
right, so
screw
next
you
segment.
Guys. No.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so I have a little bit of dojo. It's P. Morgul. Basically, I wanted to dojo Zadesh.
Wow, you're not playing Epixel. You're an idiot.
Easily the best caster in the game.
So, oh, yeah. Okay, my list is Marketh. I have a Bronzeback and a Kriya on Morgul. I have two Willbreakers, one Agonizer, Tyrant Zadesh, and his battle group is a Gladiator, Tiberian, one Brutes, and a Reptile Hound.
Sorry, I was excited. I did call it. Vale is immune to cold.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Boosh. Sorry, okay. I had to...
I have an Extoller Soul Ward and a max unit of Beast Handlers. That is my list.
That is a fair amount of beasts.
Sounds like a list.
So, like, what I found out, or what we figured out when I played against Keith, was Zadesh is actually pretty tough to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he has... two shield guards plus his own shield guard ability that he just naturally brings.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, obviously have Tiberian for a shield guard. I have a Brute for a shield guard. I have a Reptile Hound because I thought about it and I wanted... I basically wanted a model that was cheap enough that I didn't care if it died, but I could run out there to get gang.
Right.
This was something I figured out when I played against Keith. And it was not this list that I played. But being able to get gang... What I did against Keith was I ran a Brute so that way I could get gang with Mullet Karn.
Gotta get gang.
But this time, I can run a Reptile Hound, which is only a 2-point model versus a 5-point model.
That's
and
a
I can,
better point investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, two is less than five.
I mean, it can.
If they jam up on you, wouldn't I mean? You could do little short charges of things and still get use out of it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I get the idea. What's the speed on the Reptile Hound?
Seven.
Yes.
Okay.
Seven.
I wasn't.
You said that.
I wasn't sure.
On
I was
Yakov Smirnoff.
Seven. Six. Kevin?
I was about to pull back the seven, but it's actually seven.
That's what she said.
But, I mean, Tiberian in this list goes up to power strength 24?
Whoa.
It's not 25 Weapon Master.
Yeah, you're right. It's
well,
not.
I think
but he also he also gets an extra 2 inches of threat, so that's pretty good.
2 inches is huge.
Pretty huge. Huge for John, that
that's
is.
What she said.
Oh, my gosh.
So how do you like the list?
It's a list.
Where? What is your infantry clearing?
Morgul,
his caster, yeah. Obviously.
Morgul by himself.
This is
Serpent
like,
Bird.
That is kind of the issue of Morgul. Is yeah. Infantry swarms can plug up his titans.
Yeah, right. He has an offensive spell, right?
No, yeah. He just charges in, kills someone.
No,
over.
I know.
He has torment. He has yeah. torment, which what is
he just
awesome.
Torment everything.
What if all the holes are filled with immortals?
Oh my
god! Oh my god! We can always just take more immortals.
Oh, new dojo.
I mean, beasts like this are great. I mean, I'm just looking at the ones that you don't have your usual like drakes in here for sprays. You don't have, you know. Not that necessarily he could be able to do it well, but yeah. I'm just trying to give yourself some opportunities for what is your anti-infantry clearing.
Oh, like
for the
this
list.
Is not anti-infantry. Like I have to do a lot of tramples and other things to try and
gotcha.
Or like train wreck and my caster to try and kill infantry. Yeah.
I mean, just say that every time that I have a list where there's no infantry. Like,
yeah, I
there's
mean,
no
that's,
units anywhere in here, really, other than like the beast handlers, I guess. But.
It's kind of the same problem that like I think Crump has run into with Circle, is that there's not really a screen,
right?
For like his Kaya list, there's not really a screen.
No, that faction doesn't really have one.
Yeah, and so this is kind of running the same way, as in like I have pretty good like basically my Titans are speed 8,
right?
I mean they have pretty good threat ranges on their own.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't threaten things, but people are going to be able to gum the list up to make it not do what you want it to do.
Oh, I definitely
yeah.
know that.
And when you're designing lists, you know, with the idea of a design in mind, you want to make sure that you have the highest possibility of getting your plan off the ground.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually just the problem of Titan Herd
okay.
and the meta.
Okay.
Like, it's something that you can't really... I don't know that you can really mitigate that much if you want to play more Titans.
Right.
And like the only way is like take Annihilators, but the Annihilators just die to half of everything. Like,
right.
of everything.
I have heard of some people taking 2 units of Beast Handlers and 1 unit to screen.
You mean John?
Yes. He did try that against me. It didn't work out.
Yeah,
well.
It's not good.
It would have worked out if he wasn't like a complete bumbling idiot about it when he was doing it.
Like,
there were a lot of order of activation issues because he couldn't figure out like how to do things because it was like his first time playing Scorn.
Right.
But
yeah, I don't get any credit on playing well. It's fine.
I was just stating,
God, you're such a douche, bro.
I was stating the Beast Handler thing didn't work because
right.
John didn't do it right.
Well, if you're looking at things just to screen your units and it's cheap, you know, 3 points isn't. It's pretty good to spend on 6 bodies to throw in front of you.
Yeah, and they can actually kill infantry because they have anatomical precision.
Right.
Mat 5.
Yeah.
There's a lot of troops with Mat 5.
I don't know.
I'm
like,
just saying. Is there anything Morgul?
Sometimes we need to do the like some sort of like statistical breakdown of like the point cost of a model and then like its stats and how much work you're actually statistically expected to get out of it.
Yeah.
Cause like
sure.
So
Colin and I were like having a discussion over like 2 Mat 6 attacks compared to 1 Mat 7 attack. He was like Mat 6, eh. And I'm like, yeah, but there's 2 of them for the
right.
same
right.
point cost.
Right.
When did this discussion happen?
When we were talking
in
about
Mixed Head,
Mordekar,
obviously.
You were drunk. Facebook.
Mordekar? Oh. Yep. Oh yeah.
What yeah. what can Morgul do for infantry?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Literally.
So it has to be self-sufficient.
His spell list is abuse.
Right.
He has
that's pretty much it.
He has okay. abuse, admonition, and torment, which like is just his
right,
nuke.
Right, right. Okay.
And abuse
so
is...
nothing. So what do you have for self-sufficient infantry in Scorn? You have
not
immortals?
They're not self-sufficient. They actually, like, they have to have, an ancestral guardian.
Yeah.
They have to have Epic Zol, yes.
Yeah, that's the only reason they're
working. I mean, the self-sufficient units are Annihilators.
Okay. And you think those die too easily to be added in?
I think there's no reason for them.
Okay.
Like, this is a list, like, if I get jammed up, I'll just kill the jam.
All of the jam.
All of the jam.
No one dare gives Colin the raspberry.
There's only one man who dare gives him raspberry.
You call this jam?
I mean, I can see somebody, like, you know, sending a ton of Reach infantry to fill, like, your entire front line with one line of them, and then the rest of their army is all way back in that command range just waiting for you to kill that whole front line so that they can come in and counter-murder you. Because if they can get that alpha strike off, they can murder a ton of your beasts.
It should be an ability in the game, counter-murder.
Counter-murder!
Counter-murder triggers.
Oh, crap. Oh, God damn.
I'm dead.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
But
I'm trying to help you tweak the list.
Yeah, the only thing I am inherently afraid of is, like, not having a screen means that they have much easier access to Zadesh. Like, much easier.
Well, I mean, you mean, like, there he is, get him?
The screen is the Warbeasts themselves. They actually work as a screen for him. That's what I did against Keith, was that there was two brutes standing in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is actually a screen, as in there is a Tiberian and a brute standing in front of Zadesh.
Sure. I'm not necessarily worried about him. I'm just worried about you, and then from a scenario standpoint, not being able to get into scenario zones to do anything.
I mean, you can always trample.
Yeah. Unless they have medium base infantry.
You can't trample on their turn.
Turns out you can't trample over me.
Well, I can't beat trolls. Why don't you just trample Behemoth the other caster and kill him? I don't see why this is a problem.
Who said that?
The Kator forums. A long time ago when Nate was asking for advice against trolls playing Kator.
Oh, man.
They said just trample Behemoth to their caster and kill them. There are infinite issues. One, Behemoth only tramples 7, maximum 9 inches in Kator.
Right.
Two, medium base infantry cannot be trampled over unless it's a Razor Wing Griffin.
Right.
Plus,
well, under
3
feet turn, you could trample.
Yeah.
8, 9, 10.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
That far, because they have, unless their entire army is pygmies.
Right. Or burrowers. Or something.
Dude, burrowers.
Yeah. Which are also pygmies.
I don't know.
I think this would be a fun list.
No, you should try it. I'd like to see it.
I think the way I'm going to end up using Zadesh most likely is as a rush spam.
Sure.
Is to just spam the Animus
rush. Rush.
He's, as I kind of mentioned before, without having to have any kind of limit on what beast he can take, he is an Animus on a stick. He can be whatever Animus you want him to be.
Definitely. But, like, first I want to definitely see if I can get as much use as I can out of Gang before
Absolutely.
I just go down to that strategy. So, sure. Yep, I feel like that was a good dojo section.
Good
I
dojo.
Feel like we taught people absolutely nothing in our dojo.
That's the thing of every segment we have.
That is why it is called Mad Dojo. And now we're going to go to my favorite segment of the day.
Oh my gosh.
The one that everyone here thought I was going to forget.
Dude, I still have dojo.
Because I did not put it on the list.
I actually assumed that since it wasn't on the list, you remembered this time.
That was exactly
last time.
Yep. So this is our favorite segment, my personal gem that I made myself with no help from anyone else. Yeah. It is now, what does the fox say?
It's totally not your favorite segment. You're playing this up 100%.
Yeah, it's favorite segment.
And that was, what does the fox say?
It's definitely the dojo. Yeah. Or the wild.
Yeah.
Wild and crazy and idiotic.
Which I wasn't actually too happy with today's
Epic Zol.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with that.
Really?
It was just too...
Like, I'm about to just fight you. No. Drop this mic and fight you.
You can't come up with scorn things because you have too much of a faction bias.
I mean, he's also... Like, Zol
like,
already
the other
exists.
Ones were maybe like, potentially balanced. Sort of-ish.
What? Yeah, Crippling Grasp and Circle. That's just fine.
I mean, that spell's just not fine.
Anywhere.
For anyone with Arcanauts. That has been a proven fact.
Right.
of the game.
I don't know. I personally think all of the wild and crazy speculation casters should just be new casters with new names.
Mm.
Mm. Well, this is a new caster. It's a caster that doesn't exist.
It's still Zol.
Yeah, it's Zol. You're...
Sorry, it's still Za. Anyways.
Zah.
General Zol.
I hate Scrabble. Anyways.
Yeah, Scrabble sucks. God, that's one.
That was the worst who, what does the fox say segment ever.
What?
Yes.
You already finished it.
Yes.
But he kept talking. He's supposed to stop talking.
Oh, my gosh. Now I have to talk infinitely after those segments.
Yeah, you just say, what does the fox say? And you just start talking.
All right.
That will shut him up finally.
Yes.
I got a new segment for us.
Okay.
Is it Whoa. What does the fox say?
No, it's...
Another one.
I need a good name for this. I didn't think about it.
What's the premise?
The premise is gems from Tom Guan.
I actually thought about this earlier today. You guys are weird.
So,
hang on, I'm going to think of something.
Yeah, this is... actually...
Just go into it, and I'll like, see if I can't come up with something.
What I was thinking of earlier was because... oh my god, Jay from Chain Attack on Facebook said, what would Tom Guan do? Like mm-hmm. took the, what would Brian Boitano do? But it was Tom Guan instead.
Mm-hmm.
Except that doesn't work because Tom Guan doesn't have the same number of syllables. So it was, what does Tom Guan do?
I love it.
It's two syllables, right?
It was yes, so.
So, like, because it's what would Brian Boitano do? So
versus
you have to be like,
four? Yeah, that's four,
would,
isn't it?
Brian Boitano. So, four versus Tom Guan. So, you have to be like, what would Tom Guan do?
I love it. It's so bad that it's perfect for us.
No,
that is
God,
so Miami.
No. Jesus Christ.
Unless it's Brian Boy Tom Guan.
For some reason, I can't.
What would
Brian
Tom Guan do?
Tom Guan do?
Yes, we figured
Boy
it out.
Tom Guan do.
All right.
No, I was thinking of Tom Guantanamo Bay or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where I was going.
Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah. I like it. Something like that. You can just play around with it.
This is all terrible.
This is freaking my mind.
Welcome to the new segment where we throw you in the Guantanamo prison.
Guantanamo Bay prison.
Jesus.
I'm in. Tom, tell us if it's good or not. We like that name. I think it's great.
That is terrible. I feel like...
Okay, you think of some of the way where Guan
like
is...
almost as bad as the Saturday Night Live, like, switch mints. They'll be so good. They'll have you saying...
Dude, that's...
oh, no, that was Mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Switch Mints. They're so good. They'll have you saying, Schwitz.
That was about as good as a pirate joke from Max.
Jesus Christ. I don't know what to call this.
All right.
So we have a Tom
Guan
segment.
Gem from the Guan mind.
I kind of like Guantanamo Bay.
I do too.
Guantanamo.
Go ahead.
It's weird to say because you have to actually pause to enunciate Tom and not say Tom.
Right.
So this is Jesus
Christ. You asked for a segment name and I gave it to you.
Super terrible human beings. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I guess we're American, so it's
okay. Just kind of goes without saying.
So this is our new segment. Guantanamo Bay, where we talk about all things Tom Guan related.
Jesus.
This might not.
Tomino? That's actually not that hard to say. Anyways.
No, but you have to. Yeah. So this is a segment that may not become a regular thing, but I've been talking to Tom Guan a lot on Facebook lately about, like, Circle and then, you know, like, casters and janky lists and whatnot. And he approached me with a Gorshade 3 idea that I actually kind of liked, and I've been trying to convince Fox on it for a while.
I saw Nick play it, and
played
it didn't
a
actually look bad.
So, Tom Guan originally approached Gorshade 3 as, I want to cast Mockery of Life a lot, and just play this sweet recursion game, and come back. You know, just out attrition my opponent through casting Mockery of Life turn after turn.
This
after
does not
turn
sound like Tom Guan.
Okay. Until.
Well,
there's an element.
Out attrition my opponent.
Right.
He played that to not much success, and I think that's a lot of the ways people are approaching Gorshade 3.
Yeah.
You're not taking advantage of, you know,
80% of your spellcaster's spell card playing it that way.
Right.
And his spell list is really good. So, like, for those of you who don't know, I will read his spell list to you. Infernal Machine, really good spell.
Yep.
Mockery of Life, which was the recursion thing I was just talking about. Occultation, also sweet. Scything Touch, also sweet. Siphon Bolt, really good at killing casters. Pretty good nuke.
Right.
And then... So, Tom wanted to take full advantage of his spell list.
So, Jax?
So, his list that he came up with was Gorshade 3, Scarlock, a Death Ripper, which is a 4-point Bone Jack.
Right.
Or Arcanid. A Kraken, a Warwitch Siren, Derek Wraith, Ragman, Machine Wraith, Bane Riders, Soul Hunters. So, I was really intrigued by this list when he sent it to me, because from the list composition, it's really obvious that he's not taking advantage of the feat in terms of attrition, because his feat lets you kill friendly faction models and you center 3-inch AoEs on them, and then anything under it becomes stationary.
Right.
So a lot of people have been putting that at, like, some cheap models into, like, feat for attrition, so stuff's, like, really easy for your army to hit, so you can do some work. But then feeding to kill your own models on attrition is not very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's costing you points.
And yeah.
Taking your models off the table.
So how this list works is there are two machine wraiths, which are kind of chilling in the back, sort of-ish, by Gorshade.
Okay.
So that they're kind of safe from, like, you know, the magical weapons.
Getting
they can,
shot they can also flank super hard.
Yeah, they can. It depends on the matchup.
Yeah,
but some people
yeah.
Don't
you can
have
just run those guys way out there.
Yeah, and so there becomes a game of any time. So the machine race make it so that the opponent has to respect your feet more so than if they didn't.
Yeah.
Because machine race can run 14 inches, basically immune to most free strikes in the game. Because they're incorporeal, and then just run right next to their caster, and then get feeded on by Gorshade, and then spelled a few times by Gorshade through an arc node,
right,
and then shot with a Kraken. So it is a very respectable assassination.
Sure.
That's also very reliable, so your opponent has to be mindful of that the entire game.
Sure.
And talking with Fox about this, he didn't seem that, like, having the feet was, like... In that sort of style was worth it.
Like very concentrated, pinpoint, surgical versus the front line, just mass stationary.
Yeah,
right.
Type plan that everybody seems to be doing and failing at.
And so I like this a lot more because it effectively has the same sort of I don't want to say effect again, but. Sort of effect on the game. That Kane 2 has on the game. So a lot of sure. power Kane 2 has is your caster doesn't get to play this game.
Right. Right.
So by just having the two machine rates in the list and, like, a Kraken, it's just like your caster doesn't get to play this game.
Right.
If they want to, they're going to probably die.
Yeah.
So that immediately... Meh. So, yeah, okay. Meh. Like, oh, what, you have transfers there? Oh, no, you don't, because I'm stealing them from you. And a POW 16 to your face.
Meh.
And it's a POW 12.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of power to that design in the list, is you get to keep their casters out of the game.
Yeah.
POW 16.
From a Kraken.
POW 14?
Range 16, sorry.
Yeah, range 16. Yeah. Anyways.
So POW 14.
Anyways. Okay.
So the list has some very good mockery targets, right?
Sure.
The Cav are the most expensive
the
models
Cav.
For them to bring back.
Yeah. But I actually do really like mockering back Cav. Like,
yeah.
Quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that being amazing.
And Soul Hunters were a lot better than I thought they were going to be, because he can, like, bump up their hitting power so they can actually deal damage to heavies because he has Scything Touch.
Scything Touch, yeah.
Yep. Or... like occultation, so they just don't die.
Yeah.
Because they're 14, 15, which is kind of squishy, but, like, when they're occultated, they get to, like, charge forward, at reach, kill some stuff, light cap back, and then Derek Wraith can death ride them back even more.
Yeah.
And also, them being incorporeal in the charges means that you get to, like, have your Bane Riders out front with them behind.
Right.
And then you, like, run your soul
hunters through your bane cav kill stuff.
Sure.
Light cav out of the way of bane cav, and then bane cav get to go kill stuff.
Yeah. It's pretty good. That's just like practice maneuvers for two units of cav.
Yeah, basically.
Seems good.
And Soul Hunters did a fair amount of work in the game I played. I played against Morvana, too, against a newer player. So there were mistakes made there. But still, I think, gave a good idea of the list. Let me tell you, my favorite part of that game was when a Kraken ate 5 Skinwalkers in a turn against Morvana.
Yeah.
Because,
okay.
Like, nothing is better in the game at killing Skinwalkers than a Kraken, I found. Because, like, I allocated 3 focus. It's got Infernal Machine
right.
in it. And then Ragman walks up and is like, Death Field. And then the Kraken engages 5 Skinwalkers, keeping out of reach of all but one of them.
Right.
So none of them except the one game unyielding. And it's just like, forced to hit that one. Dice plus 4. It's dead. Forced to hit that one. On my second initial, dice plus 5. By an attack, force to hit that one. Dice plus 2.
When you engage them, don't they get...
Unyielding is if the model is engaging.
It's not
you
engaged.
Get plus 2 armor.
It's not being engaged.
Yep.
Really?
Because other... Yeah.
Okay. I guess I always thought it was if they were engaged by
nope,
something.
It is. If it is engaging.
Okay, so Pekrias.
The reason I know this is sure. because Desters have unyielding. And they have lances, so when they charge as cav, they have reach, and therefore are engaging things and unyielding, and then their activation ends, and they no longer have reach, and therefore lose unyielding.
Womp womp.
And can still be in reach
that's,
of life.
That sucks.
Yeah. Turns out they're like the worst cav in the game, which okay. is why we never see them.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, a Kraken just got to eat 5... Skinwalkers and then kill shot onto like something else.
Okay.
So I did like the Kraken in the list quite a bit. Infernal Machine on that thing is actually pretty close. Like,
yeah.
What's Infernal Machine do again?
Plus 2 mat, speed and terrifying
roar.
So
it's kind of sweet.
It allows you. So I went first in the match and ran all my stuff forward, and it has the effect on opponents that I like in some lists, where it immediately tilts them.
Yeah.
Because your entire army is at the 24-inch mark on turn.
It's a lot like Vlad 3 when he has dash and
yeah.
a bunch of cav. It's just like...
Yeah. Except one of those things is also a Kraken.
Sometimes they put, like, a Conquest in there.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
With Infernal Machine on it.
Sure.
And that first turn of a tier list, it gets bonus to its speed. So it's usually midfield.
I'm more afraid of the
or a
Conquest.
Battle Legend.
Screw you.
You should be afraid of the the Kraken.
The Kraken?
Well, weast, the Kraken.
Pretty. But definitely like the list a lot. I like the idea of having just 2 models for the feat, so, like, they have to respect the assassination
yeah,
or lose the game. And then you get to out attrition them, hopefully, with your whole spell list.
Right.
And not just Mockery of Life.
Right.
And we're reworking the list. There's some parts that aren't necessarily, like, essential to the list. So, like, I'm not sure Ragman is essential. Also, this is the one thing I didn't immediately like about the list, is there are only 2 models in that entire list for Ragman to sackpawn onto.
Yeah.
Given the 2 which models that he can sackpawn onto.
The Warwitch Sirens?
The Warwitch Siren and Derek Wraith.
And Derek Wraith.
Derek
Wraith's living?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Derek Wraith and him are usually chilling pretty close to each other, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And, like, Derek Wraith
yeah.
is strong enough to
yeah, he
take,
is.
Like,
the Soul Hunters are undead, but Derek Wraith isn't.
Correct.
That's weird.
Well, he's not
he
a
like
Soul Hunter, really.
Oh, I guess he's a Dragoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soul Hunters are just...
He does not Death Ride when he uses Death Ride.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so unyielding is while engaging an enemy model, this model gains plus 2 arm.
Okay.
So it was pretty strange to just have a Kraken.
I like it.
Like,
that's interesting.
Get in my belly.
Yeah.
Get in my belly.
Just
get
pick them up
and
feed them into the grinder.
RFP'd all of them.
Yeah, it must be nice, Nick.
Oh, and the RFP? Yeah.
Yeah, the Kraken yeah. RFPs.
RFPs. Yeah.
First time playing a Kraken.
Gets full. Yeah, it was sweet. Just Powten blast damage.
I hate you.
Powten.
But yeah, I think that list has a lot of potential. If you are wanting to play Gorsh, I hope Tom isn't mad at me for sharing it. I'm sure he won't be.
Yeah.
Maybe. But
I mean...
Try that list out, or some variant of that. I pretty sure if I played Gorshe 2, my list would automatically have two Machine Wraiths. Like, I would auto-lock two Machine Wraiths in at the start of my Gorshe 3 list and just be like, let's go from here.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm disappointed in Tom.
Why?
Because there is no 30-inch Mullocarn in this list. I'm very disappointed in Tom Guan.
Is that all he cares about?
It's all he cares about now.
Have you talked to him lately?
It should be all he cares about.
I don't think you understand how much this guy loves Gorshade 3.
I don't think...
Oh, there was also something Fox and I were talking about in Gorshade is he is about as hard to kill as Terminus. Right? Like,
yeah,
not with Terminus. Excluding Terminus's feat of I've gotten a bunch of souls and I'm killable. On a turn-to-turn basis, they are about as hard to kill because you can occultate yourself so Eris cannot shoot your focus off.
Right.
And they have they have the same defensive stats, except Gorshade has one less armor, but he has another focus.
Yeah.
So he would
Is he camping as much?
I'm saying you can.
At the point of the game where
there's
he
a point in the
is allowed to camp,
right.
Then he can potentially...
There's a point in the game where he just becomes like, I'm unkillable,
17
and I'm on
boxes.
A horse. And I have a really long threat range that like auto-kills casters.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, up to that point in the game, he actually gets to support his army and, like, do work with his focus and stuff.
Oh, my God!
And then he becomes, like, Campa Shade.
The difference is, like, Terminus, past his feet, always has more than six focus on him. Like, because he feats, gets a bunch of souls, and then after that, he's just actually going up and killing models and getting souls on himself and camping everything. Like, that feels like a difference to me. So he's going to be sitting at armor, like, 25 at the least.
Yeah, that's the same.
At the lowest, 25. He'll probably be sitting...
Yeah, you know the maximum number of souls I've given a Terminus player on their feet is?
How many?
Two.
Yeah, I was just going to say two.
Okay.
Yeah. So. I mean, there's sometimes where he's not allowed to just keep training
You also play a faction with... heavies that would play against cricks, which is different than most factions. Most factions take more guns, and that's their answer. That means more infantry guns.
Yeah. Terminus lists can't, like, kill gun mages.
Yeah.
Or Nis. Because it's all mad, like, six.
Yeah. Unless Terminus is spraying the gun mages and boosting on every single one, which I've done on my feet turn, but yeah.
But yeah, he's not that hard to kill.
Okay, Terminus sits at armor 24 every single turn.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot.
Against
he
hordes,
never gets soul tokens.
Against if you're giving him like more than two on his feet turn, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Also,
I'm
serious,
you are.
Gorshid has different stuff that he's doing. Like, he threats further and he freezes stuff when
and
he
does stuff for his army.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sure.
His assassination is actually much better than Terminus's.
Well, yeah, obviously. Stationary is one of the most broken abilities in the game.
Yeah. But,
I thought you said tough was and command checks and...
I said one of. There's more than one Lance.
So, as I had stated, outside of Terminus's feet turn, they camp to pretty much exactly the same armor, and I think they have, like, the same number of boxes. Or
three. There's a three-box difference. Terminus has 20. He has 17.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a neat way of thinking of it.
And Gorshade 3 has Ride-By, which can be...
But yeah, you get.
It's actually really nice for spellcasting.
Yeah, it is.
I do that with Vlad 3 all the time. It's like, oh, right by attack. Move forward. I'm going to cast this here. Move forward.
Yeah.
Cast this. And then throw dash. And then I'm going to be here.
It's really just nice because he's a caster that like you can support your army in the early and mid game and then establish my caster is now basically unkillable. So I can just camp and like ride my horse towards your caster until they're dead.
He's also ghostly.
And that. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure. Why not? What, pin me down?
Like, his threat range is much more difficult to keep out of than Terminus's.
Sure.
Right.
I hate Terminus. He's a turd.
Terminus.
Terminus.
I disagree that he's harder to kill than Terminus, but whatever.
I didn't say harder. I said about
as hard.
excluding the feature and yeah, about the same.
About the same, right, which is true. Anyways, we should probably move on.
No, we need to keep arguing over semantics,
we
Fox.
Rip each other's
semantics!
But yeah, Gorshade 3, he's sweet. Don't listen to Keith. Listen to Guantanamo Bay.
I actually haven't really
I think
heard
Keith has turned Keith. The other way around on this.
I haven't really he's heard really Keith's full Gorshade. Extent rant. Sort of whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Heard his two cents on Gorshade, really.
You ever heard the three podcasts that we talked about Gorshade?
I actually, no, I haven't.
What is the internet?
Yeah. Right. Where are we on time?
We're done.
5 hours.
Two. Yeah, in a good. Minute.
We're good.
It is
okay,
6
we're going to do one more segment. How about that?
How to Learn for the Loss?
Yep. Fox said it. We're gonna do How to Learn from a Loss.
I don't know. I never lose.
Just oh, my gosh.
I was actually waiting for that.
I don't know. Sorry.
I have nothing to add to this segment.
This was actually something I thought about. Because whenever I just play a game, whether I win or lose, I always sit. And before I even touch the models, I kind of diagnose what happened and what could have changed, yeah. What could have been better.
Which is really important and sort of hard after the entire game's been played out.
Yep.
Touching models makes me kind of hard.
F-jub.
Okay. Okay, Nick. That's your one.
Well, I'm 11.
Damn it.
It's only two now. You got to sprinkle that in a little more.
But yeah, I don't even know where I was now.
Sorry. You were talking about the end of the end of the game
and leaving
analyzing
the models where they are.
Yeah, leaving the models where they are and then thinking about what could have gone better.
Yeah, so basically I think in order to actually learn from a loss, you need to have the right frame of mind. Or the right state of mind, however you might say that. You can't get angry from a loss.
Yeah.
And I think that'll keep you from actually learning anything from a loss. Like, so one thing I think everyone needs to understand is that in War Machine, there is nothing on the line.
Yeah, this ain't like Magic the Gathering where tournaments actually pay me large sums of money. I get like...
Yeah.
Some gift cards
and
the...
some coins to stick
yeah.
in the box.
Oh my gosh, I love coins.
Yeah, I was ranting about that earlier. I'm like, I have all these coins. They just sit in my box in a basement. I
can put those coins on my head.
People need to understand, for winning a tournament in War Machine, at best you get $60 in store credit and like maybe a free ticket to War Machine Weekend.
That's like $60.
Yeah, actually that's $45, I think. But still...
Like, actually, there kind of is something on the line if you get too angry at a match, because then people won't want to play you, and then you can't play the
true.
Game anymore.
I think he's
awesome.
Saying more like there's something on the line for you to get
oh,
angry
no, no, no.
about.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
you
oh,
just,
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just want to make it clear.
It's something that, I mean, it took me a while to actually figure out how there was no reason to ever get angry.
Yeah.
I used to actually get angry about my dice quite a bit, and like that was always something that always frustrated me is when my dice would go bad.
I want to elaborate on this. Anytime, anyone, anywhere rants about dice and like X would have happened if my dice had wide.
That stuck up my bum. Like, holy crap.
You're dumb.
Yeah.
And 50% of the listeners just stop listening.
Like when...
but like, it's effectively like just nope. This is a dice game, so there's always the variance. Like, every time someone talks about dice, I think back, like, in Magic, when people just be like, I can't handle the variance of this game. My opponent just top deck, garble, 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 garble. I'm like, my opponent rolled box cards. This is unbelievable. I'm like, actually believable 1 out of 36.
Yeah, or you roll ones, which those people will get pissed at ones because they don't factor ones into their dice, which they should be factoring in all the time.
Like Trollbloods, they've done the impossible and made it possible.
But just...
Lance with the gems.
Boosh!
It is,
and I'm out.
So...
That's how you mic drop, by the way. To reference back to other podcasts.
Yeah.
Not just being beaten, but
this
doing
segment
something
should,
awesome and then throwing
this
it.
This segment should be how to learn from a loss and how to learn how to mic drop.
How to mic drop.
Yeah.
Honestly, the number one thing from, like, learning from your War Machine games is when reanalyzing the match,
yeah,
never, ever take dice into consideration.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah, for or against you.
Yeah, plan the matchup, plan what models were supposed to go against what. Yeah, statistically say this unit is supposed to kill this model or do that
X
work.
X percent of the time.
Yeah.
Like,
which I will say, it is pretty hard to do. I mean, that's been... Variance has kind of been beaten out of me because of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, it's
but,
forever
yeah.
hearing people like rant about like...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I love like in like it also happens in Hearthstone because like,
oh, yeah,
I'll beat
absolutely.
People in Hearthstone and like they do the rage add you as a friend so they can talk to you with them. It's hilarious, by the way. Like it's basically like... It's like after a Call of Duty game, someone like adds you as a friend, except they don't have to add you as a friend on like Xbox or online. They just send you messages.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're the worst, like, sacred, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, halfway through that game, you made these two plays,
mm-hmm.
which resulted in like a -3 card loss to me. And
yeah.
then so it progressed so that I was like, +6 cards against you.
Yeah.
So the like likelihood of you coming back from that game was... very slim.
Yeah, you definitely need to understand the faults before you can complain about variance.
Yeah. I was just like, my opponent drew this, but what could I have done to play this better? And the same thing happened in any game with random elements, so War Machine. Like the dice went this way,
but
what could I have done to had planned for the dice going that way?
Other than something like chess... Most games have some sort of random element to
yeah.
it for
yeah.
that exact reason. Mm-hmm. They don't want it to be,
it's
game,
way
or
easier
go
to create
or...
a good game with a random element in
right.
it than it
yeah.
is to create.
Because then the crazy stuff can occasionally work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I would say from, and I'm assuming this is ideas for this to be like a new player type segment.
Yeah. I mean, that's supposed to be our entire podcast is new player. So.
That's fair.
I also feel like everyone should take this into consideration.
Yeah.
No, and they absolutely should.
But it is definitely better for new players.
And I don't know exactly where I'm going to go with this, but I'm just going to talk about it from my aspect.
Just let
of,
it flow,
yeah,
Lance.
Yeah,
this
flow. Is going to be a completely natural, organic conversation. My beginning into this game, you have to kind of make a decision in your mind about what you want to do with this. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who actually helped me get me into this game. And they were talking about how they didn't feel like they're like saying, I can't play this game because I don't know, or I can't play this game well or competitively because I don't know what everybody else's stuff does. And I can understand that because
yeah.
I've certainly, I think everybody has that until you get to that level of perfect understanding of everything that's happening in War Machine
mm-hmm.
and what all the other factions do and take the time to study it. You don't
yeah.
know.
I mean, it's like that about most
right.
highly developed games.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
like it takes you like a year or two to
right.
understand like Magic the Gathering.
Dota.
Right.
Be good.
Yeah.
Dota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's with like serious study and concentration and play practice, et cetera, to get to it.
Yep.
You have to ask yourself that question of whether or not you are just here to play this game casually or are you here to play the game competitively? Because if you go in with a casual mindset, you cannot expect yourself to do well in a competitive setting because other people are going to be thinking of the game at a higher level, at a different rate,
yeah.
and at a level that's beyond yours. So you can't really have it both ways. You can't say, well, I'm just going to come in this game every once in a while, and then when I play, I'm just going to beat everybody's butt. That's not going to happen. That's just
yeah.
that just doesn't work yeah. for this game, and you have to play it with the mindset of you're going to be competitive or you're going to be casual. You can get lucky. Like, we talked about the dice. You can roll in saying, hey, I haven't played War Machine in, like, 4 months. I'm going to play in this little, scrambler tournament at my local game shop, and maybe you'll come out on top. Maybe you'll win because you got lucky on dice, or you figured something out.
Or because you're playing
Crix. Yeah, or you're playing Crix.
Yeah, because
I like
win
that.
All the time.
But
you've won more than I have.
Shut up.
When I started playing War Machine, and I kind of just made that decision for myself of saying, I want to play this more competitively than what I am right now. So,
you hashtag 10 games per week.
Right. that was way after. But I mean, at the time that I was playing, when I was playing Signar at the beginning, like I was just going all in, thinking about the game all the time, thinking about my lists all the time, trying to figure out what other casters would do. And I would get into games where I would play, and then I would get rogued, by something that I didn't understand how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get killed by it. And those games would make me angry. Because... Mm-hmm. Here I am putting in all this time and effort of trying to study and work on the game, and then when I get beat by something I didn't know or didn't either remember or figure out because I wasn't paying attention to their faction well enough and would lose to that, that would make me upset.
Yeah.
And that's hard to mitigate that, to get yourself out of that mindset of, I'm trying to be competitive, I'm putting all this time and effort into it, and it doesn't seem to be paying off. And that's just part of the steep learning curve of this game.
Yeah.
So I guess my advice to people that get into that mindset is the mindset, which is the question you were asking, yeah, is to think about it from the idea that it does take a long period of time, unless I guess you're Mike Perrier or something like that, to just come in and just start owning tournaments unless something switches on for you.
I mean, to be fair, he does play like
a lot.
He plays a lot. So his 1 year, sure, is like somebody, it might be somebody's basic
two or three years. Yeah. Yeah.
He has like, the hashtag 10, and he actually does.
No, he does probably more than 10 a week.
Oh, okay, sweet.
So that's pretty insane. But I mean, you can't just expect those kind of results while doing casual player level research and thought.
I've been playing this game for almost 3 years, and I play against Legion, and I've only played now 5 games against Legion.
Sure.
And I just don't know what they do.
It's more than I've played against Legion.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends what your meta has. It depends on who you have around you that's able to play those things. And occasionally you're going to go to a tournament and you're going to get killed by something you've never seen before.
Like, I went to Adepticon. I played just a casual game against Alex Shaver from Clockwork Vox. And, like, I got stomped. Like, stomped hard. And it was Legion? Just... He was playing Legion. Yeah. He was playing P-Vale. I've never seen that caster before in my life. And he just stomped me so hard.
So
and then
he used to be the go-to caster for that faction.
Yeah. I could see why. She's pretty darn good.
Yep.
And I didn't really know what I was getting into. And then I got stomped so hard. And I've thought about that loss almost every single day since I've lost that game. Well,
you hear that, Alex? You're haunting his soul.
Basically, that game is actually, like, the reason why it stuck with me is because it was such an embarrassing loss. Because it was just like, I felt like, you know, it's a guy I don't get to play very often. I don't get to see him that often. Mm-hmm. And when I play somebody like that, I want to give them a good game at least. And so when I lost that game, it stuck with me. And now I'm determined to figure out what Legion does.
Well, you should be ashamed of yourself. I beat him with Zarkova.
I was playing Epic Makeda, so clearly. What's Zarkova?
I was going to say, all you need to do is take Makeda 2 and then problem solved.
Yep, I lost that game.
Jesus.
Did not know.
Nick, are you okay?
Remember how earlier I said Makeda 2, just play him against Legion Circle, you're probably good.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Exhibit A.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I don't know if my rant made any sense. No, but it's more of something to, like, if you're having the same problem and you're having that wall to push yourself through, relate to the idea that there are people out there that you can get past it.
Mm-hmm.
And to just keep your head with the idea that, okay, I really don't know everything in this game yet, and get yourself to that point.
I mean, you can't take games in the, like, you can't take losses personally. Okay. I think that's actually a big problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stupid. I did something wrong. I did this. I did that. Yeah. You know,
because there is no shame in losing a game. Someone has to lose a game every time you play. Somebody wins
two
and somebody
men
loses.
Enter. One man leave.
Just walk away.
Right. Yeah, every time we do one of these, I have to read at this point, because every time we do one of these segments, this is the number one thing, is what I already brought up, was if you are complaining or talking about the game in terms of dice and how they went, that will get you progressively nowhere and will make you seem like an asshat.
Yeah, I mean, you're complaining about something you cannot control beyond boosting.
Or weighting dice. So you
or weighing
get,
dice,
cannot,
yes.
Cannot get past without boosting or cheating. So, maybe I'm just tuned out to it from Magic, but like anytime someone starts talking about like they can't handle the randomness or variance that's happening, I immediately just turn it off, and I'm just like, you're just being dumb right now.
Right.
Like, this isn't getting you anywhere.
Right. And some people will do that out of anger, and they'll figure it out in the long run, but
yeah, but you could just, you know, not do that and then save you like a half an hour of
hey,
frustration.
Nick, they're not, no
yeah,
one's going
to
understand what you're saying. You're speaking a foreign language.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. That felt like a good podcast.
Do you think so?
Felt like one, wasn't. Anyways.
Can I do a What Does the Fox Say Part 2?
Oh, my gosh. No.
Please. I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question.
You can always do a What Does the Fox Say?
I actually is your question is What Does the Fox Say?
No. I want to hear What Does the Fox Say? Did you see the Miami number 5 where the guy said that he loves to listen to you and he thinks you look like the goth kids from South Park?
Oh,
and he can't wait to meet you in real life because he thinks you look like the goth kids from South Park. And I found that hilarious as hell.
I should have immediately responded with, funny. No, he looks like this, and then just posted a picture of Fox McCloud.
Oh, my God. I would have loved
that's
that.
That's what I should have done.
No. You got to look at the forum to see it because they just posted one of the goth kids standing there, and I'm just like, yeah, he's kind of got the quiet kind of. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could totally.
He does wear black quite often.
I can't remember who posted it, but whoever you are.
Jesus.
Spot on. Congratulations. You're going to totally meet Fox at a convention sometime. And
he never goes to conventions.
All right, if you come to Mayhem for anything,
no, he comes
you may eventually run
he comes to conventions.
He went to War Machine Weekend that one time.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's internet famous now. He's on Miami. He's got to start traveling.
Go. He's got to go.
Yeah.
All right.
People want to meet you, man.
So not okay with this.
Right. Yeah, so...
That's it. That's all I need.
Go visit the Muse store. Lots of new products going up all the time.
Yeah, what are they on? Scorn?
We just posted up Scorn mercs as of a week ago from this podcast.
Right.
So,
Scorn and mercs just hit the store actually a couple days ago.
Boom.
Yeah.
So,
but as of this podcast,
isn't posting until next Monday.
Oh, yeah. So,
God. Time travel.
Time travel is kind of messed up.
Mullet exploded.
So, by this time, Crick should have already gone up.
Yeah, so check out
MuseOnStore.com.
There's some sweet stuff. Free shipping domestic if you buy $50 or more stuff. Free shipping international if you spend $100.
Yep.
Which is pretty sweet.
Canada includes the $50 part.
That's dumb.
Is it continental?
Whoa, Nick.
I believe so.
Okay.
It says...
I don't know. The picture is USA flag plus Canada flag. So I assume...
Screw Mexico.
They're in the same bracket.
How many Mexican War Machine players are there?
I mean, actually, yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
Let's call out. Mexican War Machine players, you better hit us up on our Facebook or Twitter.
But yeah.
They're going to come out of a woodwork.
Sorry everyone.
Yeah, they are.
That if you hate me about ranting at dice.
But yeah, our...
Or people. I love you, listeners.
I actually could have made a really bad joke, but I'm not going to. Anyways.
Well, you should have.
No.
But yeah.
We have enough bad jokes in this podcast.
The time has passed.
Check out the store. Call on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter, at MuseOnMinis. Like us on Facebook. This has been Colin.
Lance.
Fox.
And Crump. Thanks for listening to episode 7 of MuseOnMinis Miami. Bye, everybody. Bubba lubba dub dub.
He's getting it one more in, you son of a bitch.
In the event that it goes well.
In the event that it goes well. Are we just going
to
start the?
Say, though.
Fine.
Are we going to start the episode right away?
Like, yep.
He doesn't have to say anything.
Yep.
I can do the whole setup.
Lance has got this. Just turn your mic off for the first like minute of the podcast.
I won't be able to say anything because I'll be laughing.
Do you want to do any pre-ramble or should we just roll into this thing?
I mean, we should go.
All right,
talk about like actual podcast material. Wait, what the? Since when do we do news and announcements?
Since Tim Simpson asked me personally to do announcements.
God, from Simpson, fucking Tim Simpson swears
they're off.
Oh damn it!
I don't give a fuck. Don't give a fuck.
Well, beloved. So yeah, we need more to talk about though.
I want to drop a couple of those on this podcast. A couple of Wubba Lubba Dub Dubs.
Wubba Lubba Dub Dubs?
No, yeah. Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
I don't know what that means.
In bird person, it means I'm sad and alone.
For
Rick and Morty.
It's Rick's catchphrase from Rick and Morty. He'll like basically break the third wall and like stare at the audience and be like, yeah, right, folks at home? Wubba Lubba Dub Dub. It's so retarded.
They just figured it out. The season finale was last night.
Yep.
And basically, this one guy's like, well, do you know what that means? That I'm very sad and lonely in some random, like, alien language.
Yeah, and bird people.
So he just changed it from that because he finally got along with his grandkids and had a nice, happy moment. He's like, that's it. I'm getting rid of Wubba Lub Dub, and I'm going to turn it to, what was it?
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he actually said.
Yeah. Well, it was beeped. It was on.
I don't give
network.
A beep.
Yeah. It does that a lot in that show. And his mouth literally, you know, mouths it so you can see him say whatever it is. You don't
know. So just read the cartoon list.
I don't give a puck.
As good as I edit the podcast where I leave that first letter and last letter, let everybody know exactly what was said.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
that kind of thing. Yeah. They do that with beeps.
So wait. You guys need to help me pronounce this guy's name.
Okay, where is it?
Okay.
It's a forum
name.
It's right underneath the picture.
Norfinker?
No, Norpinker.
Norpinker?
Norfinker.
Norfinker.
No,
Norpinker.
No, the H is silent.
Then it would be Norpinker. Norpinker.
Let's just call him Norp.
Hey, Norp.
Okay. I want to call him
Norpinker 21.
I mean, this is his fault.
PG_Norpinker.
No, it's no RP, so no role playing.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Nicker.
Inker.
Underscore.
Norficker?
Underscore.
PG underscore. All the PGs have an underscore.
PG Norfinker. So like Finken, but Finker.
Yeah.
Too bad.
I can't wait until he's like actually is pronounced. No RP. Heinecker.
Heinecker.
He's saying hi to you specifically. He's calling you Nicker.
What's it? Is it Norpinker? It could be Norpinker.
I guess. I don't know what that means. Maybe that's a character name or something. Somebody look it up.
I think it's randomly jumbled letters. Or like this guy's. Yeah, maybe his character name from WoW.
Yeah, it could be a character name from now.
Or it's Norfin KR. Right?
Wait, isn't KR like an atomic symbol for something?
Yeah, for Krypton.
Yep.
No, we're doing it.
Have you seen John Oliver's new show on HBO?
Last week tonight. Yeah.
Where he's just like, breaking news. If it happens on a Monday, we'll cover it on a Sunday.
Yeah, we'll cover it that following Sunday. If it happens on a Wednesday, he'll be there. No, also on Sunday. What if the president or a cabinet member resigns on Sunday? We will cover it that night, unless it happens after 11:30, in which case it will be the following Sunday. 24/7.
Want some lemonade?
I don't want any of your lemonade.
It's really tart. You should try
really
some.
Tart.
Yeah, outfitted with a crudely rigged bomber salvaged from a Cadoran destroyer, Dozer is an impossible fusion. Impossible fusion
impossible.
Doesn't seem to fit because they've done it, so it's clearly possible.
Mm. It seems like
Dozer is an impossible fusion of nature's fury and mechanical destruction. But they've done it. So it is possible. From his perch atop Dozer,
Smig operates the wildly inaccurate bombard.
Rat 2.
With surprising effectiveness.
Really?
And is revered as an ace by other pigs, which means he's Rat 5 and inaccurate. Because pigs are Rat 4.
So that goes to a 2, right?
To a 1.
What's minus 4 for inaccurate?
Yep.
Wow.
So spectacular are their battlefield rampages.
That was 3,
2. Yeah.
So spectacular are their battlefield rampages that other blitzers are inspired by their example and strive to make every attack count. Because his are inaccurate. So theirs have to do something.
Why is this not a... Save it for the regular part of the cast.
Oh, I will. Especially the part about it being impossible.
Right.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
It's impossible. They've done it. My impossible. God, man.
My God.
What have they done? Right.
Mother of God.
Abomination where they stole a Kador bombard and just duct taped it to the back of an Earthborn.
I mean, that's how they do everything, though. So...
Is it a blitzer?
I mean, it's just a character. Yeah.
Did you say something about pigs?
Yeah, there's a pig riding top of it.
The ones that fire the gun.
Oh,
the guy at the top of it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's supposed to be a character, right? This is like
There are two characters, technically, because the pig is also a character.
Smig.
You know? Yeah, pigs have pretty...
Smig!
Pretty bad names, except for, you know, mine, obviously. That one's sweet.
I guess.
You know, are those pigs?
Yeah. It's Mugs and Crump.
It's misspelled.
Really? Because they're just smaller trolls. Yeah. They look like little orcs almost, or like goblins.
If it's a small base troll, it's a pig.
I thought you were talking about. Like, I thought you were talking about pigs, like minions.
Make you squeal like a pig.
Those are called Pharaoh.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Foop. Bring that whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. Now you're paused.
No, I just pushed that button and it's still recording. So.
Is it actually still recording?
I mean, the numbers are going up in time, so.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. So whatever you did didn't turn it off. Good for you.
Didn't push it hard enough.
Yes, it was recording that whole time. I will edit the majority of that beginning.
Nice. So take that part about Dozer and Smeg and just cut it in. We'll just get past it.
No,
it's fine.
All right, fine.
No, we need all the time fillers. We need all the time fillers we can get.
No, we don't need 2 hours. We don't have to do 2 hours.
No, we sure don't. I'm perfectly fine not doing 2 hours.
So let's go.
All right.
Joke. Begin.
Oh, no.
Fox, turn your mic off.
No, Fox is a part of this.
No, he's got to
laugh. He's got to be a part of this.
He's going to be like...
He's got to be a part.
Just make sure you turn
that's what makes it good.
Oh, God. No, that's another one. Write this down.
All right.
We're going to tell one of those jokes because Fox can't ever keep in the humor, and we'll be talking about a Kraken, and then I'll just say, it's like Fox is cracking up.
Ah.
Wow. And I won't be laughing
at that one. I mean,
it wasn't funny.
And you're like, oh, you ruined it.
Looks like Fox is cracking up. I like it.
No, I'm actually
I like it already.
I'm pretty good.
Except for it's already been spoiled on the podcast.
No, I'm cutting this whole part.
Lance doesn't... Can save us all.
Yeah, he's a freaking wizard, Colin.
Savior of the podcast.
He's a wizard.
Lance! Not sure, but I'm pretty sure Lance is a wizard.
He's a wizard.
Maybe.
He's a sorcerer, Harry.
I'm listening to a whole lot of Harry Dresden file books. They're really good.
So, yeah, this isn't going to cover 2 hours, by the way.
Yeah, it's fine. I got That's some fine. Dojo. We'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Because it gives a sense of time. And we're talking about time.
Yeah, the entire year. Like, what's wrong with that?
All right. Are we ready to
we'll
start
play
this
it by Schmear.
365 days.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it.
All right, ready. Joke start in 3, 2, 1.
You gave a countdown.
Countdown to joke in 5. 4.
I can't handle the humor.
3.
It's coming.
2. Oh, one. I just love getting cracked. No, I'm going to. All right. Get ready to turn your mic back on after turning it off.
Wait,
All
is
right.
it off?
Oh. Yeah. All right. It needs to be off.
It has to. Absolutely has to be.
I mean, Fox, actually, in order for the Kraken joke to work, Fox just needs to continuously chuckle at her shield. So you might as well keep it in there. Just don't.
It's 29 points of damage, right?
Just don't literally laugh.
Okay. As his Kraken is being destroyed.
Right. 29 points of damage. Butcher 3. Okay.
Yeah, just
one,
whatever.
Two,
I'm just trying to remember. It's been that long since we started talking this whole thing up.